Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
We are now into hour number two. The last 30 minutes or so, I have been covering just the tip of the iceberg, or the top molecule of ice at the tip of the iceberg, of the thousands of videos, thousands, just of police arresting camera people. In fact, Jaron, there's one I forgot to send you, or I think I sent it to you, but I don't see it in the printouts here. It's the one in Texas where there's the overturned 18-wheeler and the mainline news trucks there, and the cop comes over and they're totally polite and they flip out on them. And the people start trying to leave. And the cop goes ahead and arrests both the cameraman and the reporter. And there's just countless of those, including cops beating up mainline TV. There'll be a big wreck. And in one of the videos, the news truck's there. They're probably 100 yards away to get the whole shot in the background on the nighttime one. I think that was in Utah. I forget. And the cops just come running over, and they say, "Get out of here." And they go, "Well, I'm just doing my job. I'm here to film the wreck for the news." And they go, "No, you're not." And just rah, grab them and tackle them. I mean, it's just like crazy. These are crazy people. And the police, in most of the cases, try to defend this. And why are the social engineers telling cops to defend this and go along with it? To make the public hate you, while at the same time turning you into a bunch of goons. But this has got to be, of all the videos I've seen, the worst. This is out front, Building 7, the new Building 7, Larry Silverstein, owner of the World Trade Centers. Yeah, there it is. Insane cop arrests ABC News reporter for filming traffic incident. Watson wrote that article about it, but they've got the video in it. But this is in New York. This is in New York. And a couple years ago, it's in the film Truth Rising, and guys that could literally walk right on to a Hollywood set and play, you know, Goodfellas, come over and say, "Don't film me." But they're on the sidewalk legally protesting. They've even had the little special permits. And they say, "Well, I'm going to say you got a bomb. And I'm going to say you got a gun. And we know you don't have one, but you'll go to jail first." The cops come. They tell them that. And the cops grab the video camera and say, "Yes, this is a gun." And start laughing and say, "Leave or we're going to arrest you for a bomb and a gun." And Luke's like, "You're serious?" This is police on camera with the security thugs of Larry Silverstein. And they say, "Larry don't like you being here. Larry don't like you." Oh, you think I'm kidding? Here's the video of the Larry Silverstein Truth Rising.
Security guards who identify themselves as police officers and then say, "We had backpack explosives and bombs."
Let me smile for you.
And he said, "We're going to get arrested, but we won't. I mean, I know my rights."
"Well, right now the Puerto Rican is on the way."
"I know."
"And they want me to stall you guys so y'all can stay here and then come." "That's fine." "So I'm letting you know right now that the Puerto Rican is on the way right now."
"Remember when they came last time, we said this is New York City, this is Port Authority Street?"
"See, Larry don't want to hear that."
"I know, Larry, but who's Larry? Larry's not above the law. We're citizens, we're Americans."
Later, one of the security guards did talk to me. Did take me to the side and explain to me what was going on, that it was really Larry Silverstein who tried to set us up.
"And you can't record this. You gotta shut that off. You can't be recording this. Shut that off."
It's a public sidewalk, though.
Can I ask you why you're taking my picture?
"I have every right to. You're on a public sidewalk. I'm a citizen."
"Hey, you know what? Stop this.
I don't mean no."
We got TV host, radio host Lionel coming up. I'm going to back that up a minute. It's only 3 minutes long. I'm going to play it as we introduce Lionel, because I want the full radio audience to hear this and see this. And then we've got all these other videos in New York of police smoking cigars while they choke and beat up an ABC reporter for no reason. I mean, with cigars. These guys have pipes.
From his Central Texas Command Center, deep behind enemy lines, the information war continues. It's Alex Jones and the GCN Radio Network.
Well, our guest is coming up here in a few minutes. His bio would take an hour to go over. As a lawyer, a nightly TV host in New York City, syndicated radio host, WABC, WOR, Premier Radio Network. I mean, you name it, Court TV, Air America. Everybody knows who Lionel is. That's why when I got to the new media seminar at Talkers, be the keynote speaker, and they're like, he's like, hi, I'm Lionel. I'm going to introduce you. I'm a big fan. I'm like, oh, I know who you are, but and he gave me a pretty good introduction. But I've asked him to come on today with a little light entertainment to roast me, but he wants to talk about serious issues, but he says he doesn't want to make the audience mad. No, I actually like it. It's a sick thing. I've admitted it. Now his stuff is lighthearted and friendly, but I actually, people that really make up outrageous lies about me, that's why I'm not going to sue the Dallas blog saying I work for Obama when they have no proof. Just they just say it's funny. So at a certain level, I really like it. So we're going to be I guess something's wrong with me, but it's fun to be roasted. We're going to be talking to Lionel of LionelMedia.com here in just a moment. But for stations that just joined us earlier, there's this big controversy. Out of the thousands of videos out there, it's become a national story with the woman in Rochester and the cops saying, you know, it's not just get back. And she's on her own property, front yard, videotaping a cop stopping people and searching their car. And she says she's observing. They tell her, go and get back in your house. And she says no, but starts backing up, as they've said, and they still arrest her. So I thought I'd play clips where they arrest news people or threaten to arrest my camera crew or do arrest them in Pittsburgh. Totally polite, on a hill, videotaping demonstrations. Cops come up in riot gear and say, put the camera down, you're going to jail. And then the media is always, well, what was on the camera before that happened? Just any excuse to rationalize this. And the point is, when you're police cease to be servants of the people and become thugs, you're living in a tyranny. It's very elementary. Now, going back to this clip from Truth Rising, this is Luke Radowski with a few We Are Change members out there with a sign saying Larry Silverstein, you know, said pull Building 7. And they've already been out there before. They've been harassed. The cops have come before. It's legal and lawful for them to be there. They even go and get the permit like they're supposed to. And here come private security people saying, we're going to say you have a bomb. We've called the police. The police get there, and the police agree. They say, yes, we're going to say your backpack's a bomb, and we're going to say your camera's a gun. And they grab it away and say, look, you know, we found a gun. And then they said, now leave, or we're going to charge you. So here are the cops involved in a fake bomb threat that's a violation of federal law under the Patriot Act. Here are the Silverstein people, at least the one guy, saying, I know you don't have a bomb, but I'm going to say you do, and it's going to be 30 days in the hole. We'll finish the clip, go to Lionel, but here is the audio and video. If folks want to see the video, become a PrisonPlanet.tv subscriber. You can see the whole film. Or, hey, go to YouTube. It's free at YouTube. But you might want to buy the DVD and support us at Infowars.com, as I said earlier. You know, sometime we've got to get some funds into this operation to continue so we can continue to expose things like this. So what's so important about this is now the New York police, at least this gaggle, Port Authority police, have gotten so corrupt that they involve themselves in literal official oppression, threatening to frame someone with private security goons that look like they came out of a Goodfellas movie on video, and then don't even take the camera away. So they think this is just standard procedure. Do it in front of God and everybody else. Here it is.
Recording this.
It's a public sidewalk, though.
Can I ask you why you're taking my picture?
I have every right to. You're on a public sidewalk. I'm a citizen. Hey, buddy. We were out here before, so I don't mean no disrespect.
Can you take your camera out of my face? Because you're disrespecting me by doing that.
So I'm not doing anything illegal.
And he's in his face right now.
Asking you politely, can you take that camera out of my face?
That's off, right? It's on, right? Come on, you gotta shut that off, man.
We have every right to, though. Huh? We're not doing anything illegal. We have every
shut
right
that
to.
Off, okay? You gotta shut that off. You gotta record on what we're saying.
When Ricky comes, I think he's got a bomb in his bag.
Exactly.
I saw wires coming out.
Pause right there.
He's got a bomb.
Now, if you just joined us earlier, I played the clip where they say Larry doesn't like you, or Larry Silverstein. And now they're saying, I think he's got a bomb. And the other guy goes, oh, yeah, there is a bomb. Let's continue.
I'm in his bed.
The guy even admitted, you know, I know you're not a terrorist, but I'm going to say you're a terrorist, and you're going to spend 30 days in a hole before they really find out.
We're not terrorists. We're Americans, sir. We're citizens.
You're right. By the time the government figures it out, you'll be in a hole for 30 days.
I mean, just understand.
Just don't record what he's saying. Don't record what I'm saying. Hey, please, do me that favor. And you're still recording me. Come on, man.
You have every right to, sir. I'm sorry, but constitutionally, legally, we have every right to.
Guess who's going to jail? Guess who's going to jail?
All right, that's enough. Because it goes on. Then the cops come. They go along with the fake bomb scare, grab the camera, say it's a gun. But then they have another camera up down the street 20 yards away that catches all that. I mean, this is insanity. Now, this is probably the most evil video I've ever caught with police and private security working together out in the open trying to frame somebody. And he says, I know you don't have a bomb, but by the time they figure it out, you'll be in the hole for 30 days. I mean, like a gangster from a Looney Tunes cartoon. Hey, Bugsy, look what we did to him. Hey, get the cops over here. They work for the boss. Hey, cops, get him. We're going to say they got a bomb. How's that sound? A cop. Oh, that sounds good, Louie. Let's do it right now. We're going to show these people. They try to have a Fourth Amendment in America. All right, but the whole video is, again, in Truth Rising. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, and he is a lawyer. We'll get his take on that. Get into some serious issues, and if I beg him, perhaps a bit of a roasting. LionelMedia.com. He's a ex-prosecutor and criminal defense trial lawyer from the great state of Florida, or Florida, as he wrote a little joke there. And it goes on, old school country music devotee who worships at the altar of George Jones. Well, don't we all? And it goes on, talk radio host since 88, morning drive, afternoon, WABC, WOR, Premier Radio Network, Internet Radio, Court TV, Air America nationally, every talk radio format concerning the gamut of political and socio-political ideology. Watch nightly on New York's PIX 11, that's the big news station, where he gives news commentary seven nights a week. Hardworking guy. Broaching and addressing subjects no one in the mainstream media will ever think about, much less expose or explain. First Amendment constitutional strict constructionist, civil liberties warrior, one of the first in the media, mainstream media, to address TSA gate rape and gropings, focuses attention on the disintegration of the latter and spirit of the Constitution, the letter and spirit of the Constitution, the disintegration of personal freedoms, Fourth Amendment erosion, the systematic disintegration of Article I's war power provisions, systematic habituation to increased government intrusion and surveillance, political atheist and unapologetic realist, voted by Talkers Magazine, heaviest 100, most important talk radio host of all time, LionelMedia.com. And for public school educated folks like myself, LIONEL, LionelMedia.com. Lionel, great to have you on, my friend.
Alex, it is indeed a pleasure. And I've got to tell you something. I every day I have listened to your show, and I've listened for I don't know how many years, my blood pressure goes up. I actually physically, viscerally respond to this. I get sick every single day. You make me sick. In a good way. and I'm serious. There is not one show. There is not one day that goes by where I turn to my wife and say, what country are we living in? Number one. Two, where are the mainstream media? Where are these narcotized, zombified sock puppets? What are they talking about? Do you know that today, the big story is in New York. By the way, thank God you're not in New York for a variety of reasons. The president's here and Justin Bieber's here. That's it. And if you walked around and listened to local media news, you'd swear those are the only two things that are happening on the planet. In front of everybody, in full view, those are the stories. And I'm looking at your website and listen every day, and I swear to you, my blood pressure is going up, my diastolic is through the roof. I don't know if I can take this anymore. And I don't know how you do it. I've heard, and if anybody who's ever, you know, I study your show, Alex. I love it. And I've devoted a lot of time to it, and you've been a great inspiration for me and LionelMedia.com. And when I talk to to Michael Harrison from Talkers, and we both have said, you've got to get this person on to introduce him to, you know, mainstream conventional talk radio, because what you were doing, excuse me, I don't mean to be laudatory, and I'm not trying to you know, blow smoke, as they say, or be fawning, and I meant this, when I introduced you in the Pantheon, in the history of radio luminaries, the people who, in latter day, have changed the face of this, you've got to give credit, forget ideology or style, Rush Limbaugh, Howard Stern reintroduced people to the AM dial. AM dial, prior to them, was known for two things, at least in most jurisdictions. One was, and the other one was, La Musica del Tiempo, and it was like Spanish radio, or it was static, or you could tell when the lightning was coming in. They were integral. Add to the mix you and what you've done, and I mean it from the heart. You have redesigned and re-implemented a delivery system that the mainstream media folks better pay attention to, because this is not the future. This is the present. Disguised as a future.
Well, Lionel, what do you want to get into first? You want to roast me first? Or you were saying you wanted to talk about the Talkers Conference and the aftermath of that?
Well, I got to tell people. You've got to imagine this. Now, again, I spoke about this on LionelMedia.com, and Saturday morning, New York, it's first thing in the morning. Now, folks, you got to understand this. People are quiet. They're wiping the web from their eye. Perhaps maybe it was a late night. I get to do my introduction, and they're sitting there with their bagels. You notice the people who are around the bagels and refreshment table, the schnorrers, as they're called, you know, getting it for free. So they walk in, they sit down, and they say, oh, yeah, Alex Jones. Yeah, okay. Yeah, I've heard of him. And all of a sudden, it was Elmer Gantry on speed meets Howard Beale meets whatever, and they didn't know what to make out of this. And I said, that's my boy. That's Alex. That's the way to do it. So anyway, as we were talking, people said, you know, and let me tell you something, and this is serious, and Michael Harrison of Talkers and others are paying attention to this. You know, Alex, as I get older, my hearing is getting bad. And I don't mean my auditory hearing. I mean I get bored real easy. So I need somebody to rev me up. And I'm going to say something. I have not listened to conventional talk radio in maybe 20-something years. Seriously, a whole show from anybody. It bores me to death. In fact, do not waterboard me. Should you ever want to torture me, Cheney, don't waterboard me or stress the positions. Just put on any conventional mainstream media talk show, and I will tell you anything you want to know within 5 minutes. Just turn that off. It's white noise. It's blather. It's rote repetition. It is mind-searing, mind-numbing audio white noise. And it's, but you come along, and like I said, I'm as you can see what it's done to me right now. So anyway, so here you come along. Now, I told people, I said, what you have to do is, there are some moments of the Alex Jones Show, which I think are the most fantastic. I love when you say, get Watson on the phone. Now, that's the best. I tell people, pay attention to this one. Paul Watson, bless his heart, I don't know where he is. I don't know what he's doing. One time he was on his honeymoon. Barry Corker, Paul Joseph Watson, just get him on the phone. And he's a very, very gentlemanly British young man, as you know, and you said, Watson, Alex, yes, listen, I'm in the middle of my honeymoon as we speak, Alex. I don't want to go into detail. All right, Watson, I want you to do something. Break this down, Watson. They're microwaving kittens in Moldova and selling them to Eastern European. Alex, I can't talk right now. I'd love to do this. All right, you make a point of that, Watson. Get on it right away, Watson. Right now, have it. And you hear the man pleading with you, please, Alex, just give me my honeymoon. And it's like, listen, we are on a mission, and we're going to get down to business, and you can have your honeymoon later.
He was actually in bed, and I wasn't thinking that I was even on radio. I was like, that was on radio? And I guess he's like, it's midnight, Alex. I'm in bed, Alex.
Midnight for you, but the info war has never stopped. And I've got, seriously, let me tell you another example of why your story is so important. And I have told people about this stuff, and what you have done is you are, believe it or not, almost like NASCAR. You ever talk to somebody who's never heard of NASCAR? They think it's, I don't know, some good old boy goat roper in the middle of nowhere, or like Smokey and the Bandit, and then they become aware of the enormity of it, and they say to themselves, where have I been? You're like that, and this other media are like that. You came along a while back with TSA groping. All right. So I said, this is not fair. Now, I am, as I said, as you said, an ex-prosecutor. That scared me more. When I saw what people could do, Alex, in the name of us, in the name of the flag, in the name of government, in the name of law and order, the subjugation, little by little, the systematic subjugation of people's rights, and almost applauded to by people who don't know any better, who think they're supporting, you know, Andy from Mayberry, who think that they're supporting something. And cops are not bad. I mean, I was a part of that system. But anyway, but you came along with this TSA thing. Now, sure enough, my wife and I were in Tampa, my hometown. And everything was fine. We left. We're going to Tampa. Left Newark, and everything was fine. Coming through, sure enough, they look at my wife, who was most attractive.
Yes, I met your wife. She is. She's quite the number.
She certainly is. And believe me, I'm the luckiest man on the world, or in the world, rather, or on the world. So anyway, so he looks at me. I'm going through the magnetometer. Aunt B's going through the magnetometer. Uber Pie. Everybody's going through it. All of a sudden, this fellow looks at her and says, "You, we want to give you this scan." Now, we had talked about this, and you had alerted me to this. And I'm thinking, wait a minute, this is a backscatter radiation. This is Rapiscan. This is Chertoff, baby. This is not some mild, passive little... This is radiation, uncalibrated, uncertified, virtually unknown. I don't know what you're blasting at me.
And they're recording the images of her naked body.
Yes!
I mean, you know...
We knew all about that thanks to Alex Jones.
At least Hugh Hefner would ask her and pay her money to be in there.
Well, especially now, because, as you know, Hugh's not doing too well in his personal life. Anyway, so sure enough, they do this. Well, when she dares to say, "I'm not going to go through that," he, again, all of a sudden, it's like Sheriff Boss Hogg. It's like the Milgram experiment, Alex. The Stanford prison, all of a sudden, this glorified, skycap, federalized, I don't know who he is, all of a sudden, this guy's authority is being contested by some little lady, and he talks into it. "We've got an opt-out." I mean, you would have thought, and I said, "I cannot believe."
It's like in Star Trek. It's like in Star Trek. Whenever the engine room is blown up, they're like running around. Alert!
I know, and I'm thinking, and people are looking at it. What has she done? And she says, "Why are you doing this to me? What are you doing?" Now, understand something. This is the most amazing. I said, "Now, let me get this straight, Sparky. Let me get this straight," which is a great way to start off all cross-examination. You're telling me that because she has opted out for this particular type of inspection, the very inspection, the magnetometer, which you prefer in 99.9% of the time, that is not good. You must physically grope her to look for what? Now, of course, I'm taking pictures. I'm taking pictures with, thank God for the iPhone, unless Steve Jobs gets a hold of that and ruins that little ability to record life. I think it's called the First Amendment.
Yeah, they're now trying to have little spy systems that block you being able to record. Continue.
And, Alex, thanks to you. And I mentioned this on LionelMedia.com. I mentioned this on my nightly commentaries. People don't, and you must run into this as well. People think, "You're making this up. What are you? You're making this up." Making it up. It's true. I wish I was making it up. So anyway, now later on, to give you an idea, I sent this to my friends. Have you ever been to Israel, Alex?
No, I haven't.
Okay, I've been twice. Now, let me tell you something. When you talk about real good at this stuff at the Ben-Gurion Airport in Tel Aviv, they could do, Alex, anything they wanted. And believe me, most people would say, you know, they've got every right in the world. They could physically search you. I mean, they could do internal searching if they wanted, but they don't. Even they don't do it because they put their emphasis on intelligence. But think about this. When you have somebody who used to be in charge of the Department of Homeland Security, this mega, Brobdingnagian, huge governmental colossus who goes into private practice or private lobbying, and all of a sudden has this unique ability to introduce these rapid scans. And by the way, there was I believe it was a Columbia University medical professor who said that especially areas of the head which are very, very sensitive to this type of ionized radiation, which we don't know how strong it is, how we don't know anything about it. But this is very, very carcinogenic, or has the tendency.
Yeah, that's even been in the New York Times as 20 to 50 times what they first said. They're not calibrating them or even following federal law to have radiation tests on every month. And they gave Congress fake tests. And then, of course, on top of it, what about the workers that are around it? They're the ones that are really being fried. But, hey, why do they care?
Let me tell you something. I told this guy one time. I said, let me tell you something, my friend. Believe it or not, I said, these people don't. You're a young man. I don't blame you because you can't. You know, Alex, you look at these people, and I don't think they go into this wanting to be, you know, stormtrooper-esque. I don't want to bring in Nazi imagery. I don't think they start off like this. But what happens is this. Let me tell you something. My friend, does the word Agent Orange mean anything to you? What does thalidomide? How nescient? How comatose are you? One of these days, you're going to find some walnut growth in your axilla or your armpit, and they're gonna deny, and you're standing there. When you get an x-ray at the dentist, they put something on your lap. They don't care about you. And what's happening, Alex, and this is the most important, it's tragic, but it's true. There is this thing. It's almost Skinnerian. The systematic habituation, the ratcheting up of more and more control, more and more submission, subjugating your rights, relinquishing your rights for a common, for a better good, terrorism, for this notion of being safer. And what happens is, and forget the fraud.
Lionel, stay there. You'll tell us what happens on the other side. We'll get into a bunch of other issues. As a former prosecutor, we'll get your view of people being arrested for videotaping the police.
Leading a frontal assault on the lies of the New World Order. It's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network.
By the way, you can follow Lionel at Twitter. And, of course, his handle is twitter.com, Lionel Media. And our site is, of course, the Real Alex Jones after Twitter. And we've been using it more and more. And it's been slowly building up. We don't have 300 million views on there like we do on YouTube. I think Twitter is kind of another universe. But if you want to see photos of my French bulldog and also late night rants, it's all up there on the Twitter account. Also, every week now on Tuesday, we send out a special report at InfoWars Insider. And we sent an exclusive, high def, not the live streams from Bilderberg, but the first Bilderberg footage we've released since we got back. 5 minutes of some of the most powerful information. We're going to be releasing more via that email. You sign up for free at Infowars.com. Up at the right-hand corner, we don't do pop-ups and stuff, though. I'm thinking about it because it's so important to people to sign up for this. Because Twitter can censor us, YouTube can censor us. From the tech folks I've talked to, email is the best old low-tech, high-tech way to send video, audio, news blast. It's going to become a daily email, 7 days a week. I'm in the process of hiring some more writers and video editors and folks right now to try to beef up the crew. Because over time, some folks move or move on. So as we gain more people, sometimes we lose people. But we're busy building it out right now. So if you want to get the InfoWars Insider, the first report was on Bilderberg. The second report was the World War III looming report, big detailed boil down, and then exclusive video that's on our own servers. And we got a big report coming up later in the week from Bilderberg that's going to be at PrisonPlanet.tv. We are going to be posting at PrisonPlanet.tv tomorrow the full with expanded interviews of my speech there at the Talkers event. That's going to be on PrisonPlanet.tv. And we're doing a lot of other special reports. And it is your membership at PrisonPlanet.tv that does finance much of this broadcast. You know, you can get most of what we put out for free at InfoWars, at Prison Planet, at the YouTube sites. But you get it first and in higher quality and a higher quality audio podcast and my book and Paul Watson's book and a lot of other films we're authorized to post and my films first at PrisonPlanet.tv. And it's important with the internet kill switch and the open calls to censor alternative information and YouTube saying we were racist and that they were going to shut our account down. And we showed the letter because the Obama poster of him as a joker is racist, according to YouTube. I threatened legal action against them for violations of terms of service and defamation, and they removed that. We got the letter today. They took our honors away of being one of the number one channels, number one in many of the categories. And I'm not litigious, folks, but, you know, one time when my sister was still in high school, a guy was stalking her to get at me and saying he was going to kill her, and cops wouldn't do anything, so I just sued him. That dealt with it real quick. You know, somebody says I'm a drug dealer when I don't even use drugs, I sue them. You know, I mean, sometimes I got to do it. And because some things are not entertaining when you're saying I'm a criminal. Now, if you're saying I work for Obama, that's funny. But we need to have our own media system. And so people are always, well, so what if YouTube's censoring you? Have your own media system. I do. It costs 15 cents a day, $5.95 a month. Get a yearly membership, get 3 months free. So, yes, I give it to everyone, and then I say, if you'd like it in higher quality and to get it first and you believe in what we're doing and you want us to have our own system, PrisonPlanet.tv. And we couldn't do what we're doing without all of you that are members at PrisonPlanet.tv, and we've been upgrading it. We've been adding things. Some of the stuff that was 6-7 years old, we found out was dead links. Because when we upgraded, it killed some of the links. So that's been fixed, and we're going to we now have some of the videos in real high def. Not that many of you have connections fast enough to download those quickly, but we've got that. We're going to go to an a la carte system, prisonplanet.tv, and there's the online video bookstore, the t-shirts, the bumper stickers, Pocket Constitution's free in all of them, infowars.com, or call 888-253-3139 to ask about any combos or specials. And it is your purchase of the books, the videos, and other things that make this broadcast possible. And when you're a prisonplanet.tv member, you get the live video stream of this show and the archive of that each day. So there are a lot of exclusive things as well at prisonplanet.tv. But see, it really is a donation to the InfoWar, war bonds, and the fight against the global crime syndicate with your prisonplanet.tv membership. Now, going back to Lionel, I know you've been exposing, as a former prosecutor, the fraudulent drug war. I know you're also concerned about this rash of police, not just arresting folks in their own front yards, but beating reporters up to a pulp when they try to videotape them, even from 100 yards away, or private security guards coming up at city parks and saying, we're going to arrest you if you don't stop videotaping. I mean, they're acting like that the new Al-Qaeda is anybody with a video camera.
Well, see, that's exactly right. You know, Alex, just a couple of things that I wanted, just if I could, just to piggyback on what you were saying. You know, your whole set of, in fact, I watch it. I love what you do. You inspired me. Since 88, I was involved in conventional terrestrial talk radio, plain old talk radio. And I thought to myself, and I'm serious about this, I said, I want to do my own podcasting to say what I want. Not that I've been censored so much, but you'd be surprised just when you can talk without having somebody in the other room, let's say a program director stare at you, or somebody on a class tour. There's something like when you're in the middle of an impassioned speech or some Girl Scout troop walks through, or you've got a salesman, or you have to stop just in the middle of what you're doing because you've got to take a break, which is fine. I love commerce. I love capitalism. That's great. So what you did was, when I formed LionelMedia.com, you inspired me. And I could do my podcast. Again, it's nominal. It's like the cost of maybe a Starbucks a month. But this is what's happening. And what I was saying, by the way, just quickly before if I could, what I did mention about you in our talker's introduction at the New Media Seminar, which, believe me, I don't think in its history, since Michael Harrison did this, and it is the preeminent talk radio, talk spoken word journal on the market. But what you've done is, and I said this kind of in passing, it sounded like a joke, but you have literally figured every means of communication. If smoke signals could ever be tapped, you're going to be doing smoke signals. If nanotechnology, if goldfish flatus somehow gave out a message, you're going to conquer that. You do DVDs, carrier pigeon, tapping on cell walls in prisons. If two people can communicate, the two cups and the string. And I say that because you have saturated this thing. And people say, how does this guy do it? And I'm saying, this is the most important thing. This isn't an act. What people have to understand about what you're doing, and I know this sounds like I'm not being praiseworthy. This is true. You can't do, Alex, what you're doing unless you really believe it. Because the veneer will come off, and you'll be able to see through the transparency so quickly if you don't literally eat, sleep, breathe what you're saying. And that's something which is a key. I want everybody in the talk radio industry to listen to what you're saying. Have you ever met somebody, Alex, who says, oh, hell, I can do what you're doing? You just talk for 3 hours. That's easy. Really, Sparky? You really think it's easy? Well, I'll tell you what you do. You go into a bathroom right now, and you start talking. And do not miss a beat. Don't bore them. Don't have them click away because they've got 9 million channels. You've got iPhones with more apps than you can imagine. Lure them. Compel them. Pardon me. Hold them over hour after hour. Never bore them. Be sincere, and you do it. And, Alex, only you would know this. Have you ever felt when you're done doing a three-hour broadcast and you are at, to use Spinal Tap lingo, at 11 from the get-go, do you ever find yourself feeling like your brain's been cored? You are emotionally spent. It is a feeling of almost mental, emotional exhaustion.
It's almost every day. That's why I got greedy because once I'm on air, I have all these points I want to make, and I get mad that I didn't cover this issue. My biggest drive is people being conned. I get upset by it. And I don't like snakes and con artists and all of their fakery. So I want to show people the magic trick. But then I realize that I didn't do it properly. I didn't tell them all of it. And then I feel guilty. And so then I'll do a fourth hour. And then it's gotten to where over the years I have to go lay down on a couch for like 30 minutes. And on the way to the couch, there's salesmen popping up and your wife's on the phone and she just dropped the children off. And by the way, there's a city inspector here. And, and you know, two employees are fighting in the back. And absolutely. And
Paul Watson's on his honeymoon. Paul, get up, Paul. No, but I got to tell you something. There is something about this business, if you do it right, it's something that it is so important. I want to be corny for a moment. I say corny because I'm afraid of two things. I think you and I are very alike in this respect. First of all, have you ever done a perfect show? I bet you'll say no.
No, they're horrible.
Everybody, if you ever think, you say, how did I do that? How did I leave that out? Because that's a perfection. You've only got this amount of time, and you treat each broadcast like it's your last, like it's the only one.
Oh, does this happen every time I'm going to go on a trip? I'm not afraid of death. I get afraid I can die in a plane crash, so I always do a whole bunch of extra stuff right before I leave.
I know. Well, you know, one of the things you and I share, and by the way, another thing I tell people, you can always tell a lot about a show by the bumper music. And you and I think share an affinity for the poet laureate of Texas, Towns Van Zandt. And I thought, how appropriate when I think of you. I think, you know, all the federales say we could have had him any day. And isn't how interesting and how prescient and Vatican Pythonic that is, that Pancho and Lefty, and how that is in many respects correlates to what you're doing. Because I keep thinking, and I don't mean this, please, I don't mean this, I don't mean to be cute about this, because God only knows what you go through that the public doesn't know about, how your beloved wife and family must say, could you maybe just sell insurance, Alex? Please, you know, could you, this is a great calling, but we don't know, I'm being very serious, the sacrifices you make to do this. Because I keep telling people, you know when, you know, like you've said many times, you can tell you're over the target when you start taking flack. And as long as you hear Alex Jones on the air, you know he hasn't hit pay dirt yet. When he does, you won't hear him anymore. So your success is when we hear a dial tone, if they even have dial tones anymore. You know what I'm saying? It's a weird, the government, and it's not, by the way, it's not Obama, it's not Bush, it's the government, it's the superstructure, it's this amalgam, this Gordian knot, this hodgepodge, this almost supernal superstructure. They cannot let this get too popular and ruffle feathers. Because I got to tell you something, Alex. This is what I say on LionelMedia.com and this Twitter I love. I'm a Twitter fanatic. Another addiction I've got at Lionel Media. This is my dream. Not to in any way steal from Dr. King, but I have a dream. And that dream, Alex, is that one day the government says this. When I say the government, it could be 20 years from now. Whoever's in charge, it doesn't matter. State, local, city, Austin, city council, doesn't matter. I want people in office to say, oh, no, no, we can't do this. They'll never stand for this. They'll be out in the streets. We will kick these people off. You don't understand them. They read. They know. They vote. Oh, no, no. I want the government to be afraid of us. I want them to tremble at the idea of making not Alex Jones or not Lionel or not, no, no, but anybody upset, because it's the opposite. We quake. We live in fear. We are sheeple. We're habituated.
Well, I think that's the most successful thing I've done, not even consciously, because I'm just outraged and mad. And it's not that I even have courage. It's in the face of a bully, I tend to attack, not run. I flee forward, really, is what it is. Is that I've not been fearful. And I think that's been an example of people to stop being cowed. And I think the founding fathers said it. V for Vendetta repeated it. But George Washington said it. When the government fears the people, there is liberty. When the people fear the government, there is tyranny. And it's really just that simple. And government has gotten on a power trip. Control freaks have filled government now with bad folks. They're trying to kick out the good people. And raising that point, specifically as a former prosecutor, what's your view of the attack on the video camera? What's your view? Because you were saying a drug war.
Well, this is the thing. First of all, as far as this, you know, years ago, Alex, there was this kind of a firewall. There was a time when people actually paid lip service to this. CIA is international, FBI is national, NSA is this. And so there was this, it was illusory that there was this firewall, this compartmentalized, your jurisdiction ends here. Today, some very smart people, again, think 15, 20-year increments. You know, this is, they've got, whoever they is, but their things planned. The idea is that, hey, guys, I don't have to worry anymore about wiretaps. When I was a prosecutor, we actually had wiretaps. This is before technology. I used to prosecute, Alex, this is in the 80s, the early, well, mid-80s. Obscene phone calls. Well, guess what took care of that one? Caller ID. Hey, isn't that great? Look at this. Electronics are good. It's electronic keyhole. People, hey, I like that. That's terrific. Surveillance is your friend. What's happening, too, very quickly about it, I went to the cameras. In New York, there's a terrible, terrible, terrible case. These poor, innocent people were slaughtered on Long Island at a drugstore, and some pill-crazed pain nut came in and blew these people away to steal opiates, oxycodone. Now, two things. People were saying, isn't surveillance wonderful? Isn't surveillance wonderful? And I say, wait a minute. Surveillance is wonderful. Vigilance is wonderful. Looking out for your neighbor, citizens' awareness, absolutely. But do not confuse a well-placed, privately, a security camera, a closed-circuit TV, with omnipresent panopticon government surveillance 24/7. Do not make that mistake.
Lionel, we're going to break. I want to come back and finish up with that and some huge new TSA news. How they say they're going to go after Texas now with their move to ban the groping. We'll be back. We'll take you out with Poncho and Lefty.
Living on the road, my friend, was going to keep you free and clean. Now you wear your skin like iron. Your breath's as hard as kerosene. You weren't your mama's only boy, but her favorite one, it seems. She began to cry when you said goodbye and sank into your dreams. Poncho was a bandit boy. His horse was fast as polished steel. Wore his gun outside his pants. All the honest world to feel. Poncho met his match, you know, on the day. nobody heard his dying words. That's the way it goes.
From his Central Texas Command Center, deep behind enemy lines, the information war continues. It's Alex Jones and the GCN Radio Network.
Okay, not just the internet king, but the media king, showing that the alternative media is king. Drudge Report is linked to our article proving that the TSA said they stopped groping children under 12 last November, and then again in April, and now they've told us that it doesn't happen now, even though I just watched it a few weeks ago when I flew to New York here in Austin and coming back through Newark. They're at Liberty or whatever the name of it is. We need to get this added as an update to the Drudge linked article. TSA set to take legal action against Texas groping bill. They already had Perry's minion behind the scenes kill it when it had a unanimous vote in the House and near unanimous in the Senate. They had one vote against it they had lined up. And now, because of Perry being put on the hot seat, it's set to be voted on today. Friday. Feels like Friday because I don't ever have a day off. So every day is Friday, lusting after Saturday. But to make a long story short, they're threatening a blockade and a lawsuit, kind of like the feds always do. They couldn't pass the EPA carbon tax, so they just have the EPA do it, and then states are suing that, and then the federal courts are ruling for the EPA. People thought that ruling earlier in the week was a good thing, that, some states were calling for more carbon taxes. People thought, the feds say only the EPA can decide that. No, that's terrible. They're saying the states have no authority. Why even have states then? But I digress. Lionel, it's awesome having you. I'd like to have you, someday when I kind of have a smorgasbord of different hosts that fill in over the 3 hours, perhaps have you ride shotgun with Watson so you can tease him the entire time. You know, he's the fill-in host. How do you like it when Watson fills in?
I'll tell you what, I like it. I certainly cannot replace you. But may I say something very quickly about why this is very important and why this TSA thing is? It is very important for this particular, and again, not the Obama administration, the government. Whoever replaces them will do the same thing. Alex, they cannot win. There has to be the message sent out that any attempt to thwart, to intercept, to stop, to interrupt the systematic complete control of people, their bodies, their persons, their communications, their computers, their Apple, everything will be fought viciously to give, and whether it means something or not, there might be people in the halls of justice somewhere that said, we don't care about TSA, it doesn't matter. We're going to teach these people a lesson. We are not going to let anything go. How dare you question your government? We're not a public servant. We're in charge. Your minions, your slaves, how dare you question us?
Well, they call it anti-government to even have an opinion about what you want in government when that's what freedom's all about. In closing, and again, folks, I'm going to put out some special reports today on a host of issues dealing with this big TSA development. Watch InfoWars and Prison Planet and PrisonPlanet.tv. But in closing, next time you come back, we'll talk about it more. But briefly, your view on the drug war as a former prosecutor.
It is absolutely the most ridiculous waste of time. It has resulted in, right now, a boon for lawyers and judges and jailers and the like. The reason why people are involved in drugs is a very simple thing, either to use or to sell, and they sell to make money, and the reason why they make money is because it's illegal. So if you make something legal, that is not an endorsement by the government of its use. It just merely means, Alex, that if you possess something, you are not subject to criminal penalties. Do you know that if one of your kids, God forbid, had strychnine on them or cyanide, that may not be against the law. That's not a Schedule I drug because it's going to get you high. It'll kill you, but it won't get you high. Now, does that make any sense to you?
No, there's stuff under every sink that'll kill you, deader than a hammer, but because they don't hype it up and make it a big deal, statistically, it's not very dangerous. Look, they made the drugs illegal because alcohol prohibition went out, and they had to have something else to give the corrupt system a cut of the laundered money, and that's on record with the big banks caught doing it. Lionel, awesome having you. Great job to the crew. See you back tomorrow, 11 a.m. Retransmission starts now.
Big Brother. Mainstream media. Government cover-ups. You want answers?
Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
Well, for the next hour, former Minnesota Governor Jesse Ventura, best-selling author, is our guest. The new book, New York Times best-selling author Jesse Ventura with Dick Russell, 63 documents the government doesn't want you to read, available at Infowars.com. We've got a deal where you can get one of the films free when you get the book with Big Brother, The Orwellian Nightmare Come True. Now, Governor, it's great to have you back. You're down in Mexico right now, but we've got you for the full hour. Some stations don't carry this first 5 minutes, so I want to cover some sub-issues before we come back and get your take on the entire bin Laden fable. They're telling us that we've got to give up even more rights now that bin Laden's been reportedly killed. They're announcing the government's going to have alerts over our cell phones. They're going to have a no-travel list now. For trains, you name it. We're going to talk about all that with former Minnesota Governor Jesse Ventura. But getting into the no-travel thing first. So we thought we'd escape the TSA by not flying on commercial jets, but now they're announcing, Governor, that they want to have these on the roads, the highways, the trains. They've been beta testing those. What's your view on that?
Well, it doesn't surprise me at all because, Alex, you know, I drive to and from Mexico every year. And after clearing customs at the border, and it doesn't matter what border, whether it's California or Arizona, when you clear customs, you get about an hour under the freeway in the United States of America. And this has been going on for the last 6 years because that's how long I've been living in Mexico and Minnesota. You come to an immigration stop out in the middle of the highway where you have to sit out there in the hot desert for an hour and a half and clear a second immigration stop. So it doesn't surprise me because these stops have been going along and they're illegal, in my opinion, because you've already shown your passport at the border. Why are you required to produce it again an hour into the United States? So, you know, this is stuff that they've been setting up that I've been watching for 6 years now in my travels via Mexico back to the U.S. every year.
They're just expanding the control. Well, let's say they want to protect us from terrorists. Terrorists, they get a leak, might want to attack a mall. They're going to put TSA in front of every mall? Well, they're now announcing they want that. Are they going to, close to 200,000 miles of rails, over 2.5 million miles of roads. I mean, it's impossible to protect all this. It's a joke.
Alex, are they expecting, an attack? Is that what they're saying? I mean, I've been down in Mexico. Are they priming us that we're going to get hit again, and so they want to be preemptive, and that's what they're telling us?
Yes, they've just so happened been training for years with real checkpoints at bus stations and train terminals, but now they're rolling it out saying, Al-Qaeda, it's inevitable they're going to hit in a revenge for bin Laden. We're going to talk about it after the break. And so you got to give all your rights up now, and we've got to basically have TSA-trained federalized police through the threat fusion centers just sticking their hands down our pants everywhere.
Well, you know, it's like the old forefather. I can't remember if it was Ben Franklin or which one of them said it when they made the great statement that if you're going to trade your liberty for security, well, then you have neither. And it seems that that's what our country is willing to do now, that we're willing to trade our liberty to be secure. I mean, Alex, I go crazy right now. I mean, I have to sue to prove that Jesse Ventura's not a threat just so I can fly commercially. I mean, what kind of nonsense is going on in this country?
It's amazing. And the more liberty we give up, now they say the terror threat 10 years later is even worse. We need more of your rights. They spend trillions of dollars in the last 10 years in the domestic system. There's close to 1 million domestic private contractor spies. This is big business. And the truth is, it's not going anywhere just like the prison industry until we say no. That's why they made drugs illegal, so they could have a black market, bring them in, and arrest their competition. Former Minnesota Governor Jesse Ventura is our guest. The book is 63 Documents the Government Doesn't Want You to Read. He'll be with us for the next 55 minutes. We're going to get into the whole bin Laden fable and get his take on it straight ahead. First day he's doing interviews. We're honored to have him. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
From his Central Texas command center, deep behind enemy lines, the information war continues.
It's Alex Jones and the GCN Radio Network.
Thank you for joining us. It is Tuesday, the 10th day of May, 2011. Joining us from the Baja in California is former Minnesota Governor Jesse Ventura's new book, climbing up the New York Times bestseller list, Jesse Ventura, 63 Documents the Government Doesn't Want You to Read, available at Infowars.com. Governor Ventura, out of the gates. We're now 9 days into the killing of bin Laden. We were told 8 separate times he'd been killed. We have those articles up on Infowars.com and PrisonPlanet.com. They told us buried at sea. They won't show us the photo because, quote, conspiracy theorists, the president said on 60 Minutes, wouldn't believe it. That means people that have been lied to so much, they don't believe anything. And I know talking to you privately, that was your point. But, Governor, looking at this situation and the way they've changed the story so many times, what's your take and view on this, Governor Ventura?
Hard to have a take and view on it for me, Alex, because as you said, I'm down here in the Baja and I get wind of stuff 48 hours or 3 days after it happens, so you guys know certainly more than I do. And, you know, I've been asked, people have said to me, well, could we have taken him alive and da-da-da. I said, I can't make any statement on that because you'd have to be there, you'd have to be part of the operation. If the Navy SEALs indeed did kill bin Laden, well, they're the best unit at doing that because that's their expertise, and they could accomplish that mission if the mission were indeed true. Do I think it's true or not? I don't know, because my government has lied to me so often. I mean, look at when they lied about the death of Pat Tillman. They lied about the Jessica Lynch recovery. They lied about weapons of mass destruction. They lied about ties to Al-Qaeda in Iraq. So really, the government has no credibility with me. So when I hear a story that they accomplished this, and then there's so many other weird things about it, like they buried him at sea 24 hours later. Well, why? And then they said it was Muslim religion. I might be wrong, but I think isn't that Jewish where you have to bury within 24 hours? I'm not an expert on religions, but I'm not sure that that's part of the Muslim religion or not.
Now, the imams have come out and said that you need to be buried after you've been washed facing Mecca, and that burial at sea is a big no-no.
Well, okay, then there you got it. So why did they bury him at sea? I guess because the Navy caught him. That's the only thing I could come up with. But, no, they won't show us photos. They're just telling us he's dead, and I guess it's worked so many times before, Alex. Why wouldn't it work again?
Well, you bring up the point of lies. It came out last Wednesday that White House did not watch the live killing. Then they said he fought back and the SEALs had to kill him. Then they said he didn't fight back and that they took him out and then killed him. Then they said he used his wife as a human shield. Then they said that didn't happen. And then they won't show us the body. I mean, this is very, very, very bizarre.
Well,
but I
can tell you this, Alex. As far as the operational end on the ground, being the knuckle draggers, the SEALs that did the op, it shows me that policy hasn't changed at all since Vietnam. Because in Vietnam, our standard policy, if we were going to do a kidnapping or going to do something of this order, would be you offer the person one time. And if the person doesn't fully cooperate, you then take them out. You eliminate them. And it's that quick. So whoever the operator, if it indeed happened, as they said it went down, whoever the operational leader on the ground was, I fully could see why he would be taken out that quickly, because that's no different than what it was in Vietnam, that you give one opportunity, and if they so choose to not exercise that opportunity, then you eliminate them.
Well, what's amazing is they showed this White House Situation Room and said that they were watching bin Laden being killed. And then they said, actually, the video cut out for 24 minutes and they didn't watch it. And they lied about that. And then Jessica Lynch, for 3 days, she's there at the hospital. The Iraqis have pulled out. The doctors go and say, please come here and get her. Jerry Bruckheimer gets on satellite feed. The director scripts how to do this staged rescue. Turns out she didn't fight in the convoy. The other guys did. And then magically those guys all died in a week, getting shot in the head or drowning or running off the road. With Pat Tillman, he writes letters home saying, I'm coming home to be anti-war. He gets shot three times in the head at close range. They claim that he was killed by Al-Qaeda till the Army coroner report came out saying foul play was shown. I mean, you're at Gulf of Tonkin. The list goes on and on. So bottom line, I mean, this looks like an election ploy stunt, and I don't believe a word of it. What's your view?
Well, again, I don't know. I got to delve into it. I got to start reading on it when I get back to the States, and I'll make a few phone calls with people that I know and see what I can tap on behind the scenes. You know, I'm still a bit connected to the SEAL units, and I can't believe that they would knowingly participate in a fraud. But then again, I guess if you're ordered to do something, you have to do what you're ordered to do. You know, but I can't see a SEAL platoon actively participating in a fraud unless they pulled a fraud on them, too. And maybe they had some guy there that looked like bin Laden and did him in. I don't know.
Well, that's exactly how they operate. That's exactly. They have decoys, people that are set up. And now they release this video of the five videos. Four of them were previously released videos. We've gone and shown the exact same video was released, one of them 4 years ago. But they cut the audio out so it wouldn't be too obvious. And the one video that's new is an old guy from the side whose ears don't even look like bin Laden, supposedly watching bin Laden on TV.
Yeah, I did see that photograph last night, and I kind of chuckled at it, and I thought, that's him? And then I thought to myself, well, then what they really did was just shot an old man in his bed, right, was sitting there with his wives? I don't know. Again, I can't comment on what happened on the ground because I'm not privy to anything that went down with the actual platoon over there. But they could do it, and they could certainly accomplish it if it was real. Whether it's real or not, Alex, I have no way of knowing.
But you're saying that you do question the official story because you've been lied to so much.
Yeah, well, absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, for the last decade, it's been nothing but lies, whether it's the Bush administration or the Obama administration. It's lie after lie. Like I said, we're to the point now, Alex, I have to go to court to be able to fly in my own country. What kind of country is that when you got to go to court to be able to fly and not be searched? You have to prove you're innocent every time you go to an airport.
It's amazing. They've now announced today, and this was actually set up months ago, the new alert system was really integrated in years ago. They're going to be breaking in on smartphones, cell phones, computers, radio, TV, with government alerts, messages from the president forcing you to watch them. 9,000 locations, 800 Walmarts, malls are getting telescreens saying nobody's safe, watch your neighbor, trust no one but government. I mean, is that not 1984, Governor?
I don't know. Why are they doing that, Alex? What are we supposed to do? We're all supposed to go to Walmart and watch them on TV when they come on?
Well, it's about them forcing their way into our lives. Chuckie Schumer and now Amtrak looks like they're going to agree, as well as other terminals around the country, to have TSA sticking their hands down our pants. Have you seen the new video of the six-year-old having them stick their hands on her pants or the one-year-old baby with them pulling the diaper off?
No, I didn't see the one-year-old baby with the diaper, but I did see the young child. I was on with Lou Dobbs that particular day right before I left to go back to Mexico on the book tour. And, you know, Lou was irate over it, and he thanked me for bringing my lawsuit on behalf of millions of Americans, including himself, for standing up for this stuff. And but, you know, that's about all you can do. I mean, we just got to be vigilant, Alex, and not accept this as normal behavior and what's supposed to be a free country.
Well, how could TSA, if there were real terrorists, protect cornfields, rural areas, highways, hundreds of thousands of miles of train? They claim the Al-Qaeda documents that the boogeyman bin Laden had, so they want to go up and derail trains. So how is searching everybody that gets on trains and putting them through a no-ride list, how is that going to stop Al-Qaeda? I mean, how are they going to stop anybody?
How many Al-Qaeda are there? I mean, I'm trying to figure out, are they trying to make us believe that there's like millions of them out there?
No, they claim there's less than 100 in Afghanistan, less than 100 in Pakistan, maybe 100.
Well, that means there's more Hells Angels than than there are Al-Qaeda, right?
Well, also, Jesse, let me ask you this question.
Am I right, Alex?
Absolutely.
There's more Hell's Angels than there are Al-Qaeda, then.
Well, here's another question. If they say he didn't resist and that the SEALs got him and then executed him, why, if he's the greatest intelligence asset in the world, knows where all the Al-Qaeda bodies are buried, knows the next attack, why execute Osama bin Laden? And they're telling us torture's great and torture's wonderful because it gets data. Well, then why not take bin Laden and torture him?
Exactly. Well, that's a question that would happen in the field, and I can understand the SEAL operative, because if it was the same as Vietnam, if you give them one opportunity, if they fail to do that, you eliminate them, pretty much. And that's unconventional warfare, and that's what the SEALs are about. It's not conventional warfare. But I certainly would rather capture him. Absolutely. This guy would know everything, supposedly, about Al-Qaeda. Why wouldn't you attempt to capture him first so that you could gain knowledge from this guy to warrant off other attacks or whatever it might be? It seems stupid to just have plain executed him without trying to at first capture him. But again...
Well, Jesse, let me stop you.
I can't speak for the guys on the ground who actually did the op. I don't know.
Sure, but my point is, sir, they changed the story. First, they said he resisted, fired at them, that the helicopter got hurt by being fired at. Then they changed that. Then he used his wife as a shield. Then they said no. Now they say he didn't resist. They took him and executed him. They had him. They executed him. And the word is, if you believe he was killed, he had knowledge of being CIA in the 80s and 90s. Clinton had a chance to get him in 96 in Sudan, and they didn't want that out, so they were ordered to kill him. Then Obama said, no, we didn't order him to be killed. So the point is, we're being lied to. They've changed the stories. We'll be right back with Governor Jesse Ventura with more.
The Genesis Communications Radio Network proudly presents The Alex Jones Show, because there's a war on for your mind.
Governor Ventura and I were just talking during the break, and he was having time to really cogitate on the whole bin Laden situation. He takes off part of the year and goes down and writes books and researches down in the Baja, Mexico, and surfs. But he was going, didn't Benazir Bhutto, the president of Pakistan, come out and say he'd been killed? And then she got killed a week later in execution style. And Pakistani intelligence former head told me here it was Cheney had her killed. And wasn't it in 2003 in the election, we had Madeleine Albright come out and say he was dead and that Bush was thinking about rolling him out. Then Walter Cronkite did it. Then Teresa Hines Carey did it. And so Bush backed off. I had Steve Pachenik, the guy that co-wrote the books with, of course, the very famous writer Tom Clancy. He was the head of Black Op Operations, worked with the SEALs in psychological warfare, the Delta Force. He told me in April 2002, Governor, that he died of kidney failure and they were going to roll him out later, claiming that we'd killed him. So with all those high-powered people saying that and then them changing the story so much, what does your gut tell you? I mean, you said...
It causes me concern over the fact that this guy supposedly was on a dialysis machine way back 10 years ago. How could he survive that long if he needed dialysis treatments all the time? I mean, I don't know too many people that are that overly active if they require dialysis treatment on a regular basis.
Well, he had several diseases that on average people die within 2 years. The longest lived are six. Total renal failure. That's why even CBS News reported he was at the American hospital in, quote, Dubai being treated by American doctors. And even Dan Rather went and interviewed him. And this was just months before 9/11. I mean, he was near death then.
Yeah, you know, and so I don't know. I don't know what to believe, Alex. It's that's the disturbing thing about being a United States citizen today, is the fact that you can't believe mainstream media, because mainstream media is totally bought and sold, and they're in bed with the government, and you know, that's their job now, is to simply report what the government wants us told. And in light of that fact, you have to learn everything on shows like yours and on the internet and all these other alternative places where you can attempt to get through them and learn the truth. But again, everyone's susceptible to being misled, no matter where it is, be it the internet or where else. So it really boggles the mind. mind on trying to figure it out. That's why I don't like to make rash decisions on it. I like to look at the thing, take my time, and do my own studying rather than just simply reacting to what media says to me.
Well, we're going to get a headline out at InfoWars.com. My writer was just in here during the break, trying to get an answer from me with what to go with. Obviously, it's big news. Your opinion is highly valued out there by independents and people that love liberty. And I think the fair headline is Governor Jesse Ventura or Jesse Ventura. I've been lied to so much. I question or I need more information. I mean, what should the headline be?
I question everything the government tells me. It's that simple, Alex.
And you went on to question they lied about Lynch and did a Jerry Bruckheimer production of
they lied about the murder of Pat Tillman, which is unconscionable when they tried to turn that into a political staged deal to support their war and political position. Unbelievable. They've lied so often about so many things.
WMDs.
I don't know what to believe.
WMDs, fake documents on that. It turned out they ordered, the U.S. did, ordered England in the White House memo to fix intelligence along with us that we were going to go ahead and go to war.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, we've been getting lied to for the most of the last decade. It's unbelievable. So the simple thing is, I don't know what to believe. Because my government lies to me, they have no credibility with me.
Let me expand on that. We're about to go to break with a long segment coming up. But the New York Post on May 7th ran a headline, "The Truth Hurts." And they said that Governor Jesse Ventura has since reversed his position that he believed bin Laden was dead. Well, you were just going off what even mainline news was saying, that it was believed he was dead. And they said he since reversed his position. I then searched, and I knew you were in Mexico. There was no news on you in over a month since you'd been in Mexico. And I looked for you doing a reversal on bin Laden. You never did it. So here they are, correct me if I'm wrong, saying you reversed yourself when you never did it.
No, I've never met him. Alex, this is the first day I've done an interview since my book tour, and you were on my book tour. That's what, 3-4 weeks ago?
Time Magazine's out saying that I've reversed myself now that they've released these videos, which a bunch of them are old, already released. It says, well, Jones now has to basically admit he's wrong. I did not do that. I'm right. I know it's totally fake. I predicted all this years ago, but that's what they do. They think their readers are a bunch of idiots, and that's why the mainstream media is dying. Governor Jesse Ventura. Folks, this book is really waking a lot of folks up. Available at InfoWars.com. The book is doing extremely well. That's why he's back. We'll talk about the huge success of 63 documents the government doesn't want you to read with Governor Jesse Ventura on the other side. Stay with us. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, we are back live with former Minnesota Governor Jesse Ventura. I'm Alex Jones, and the website is weaintgottimetobleed.com. Weaintgottimetobleed.com. Our sites are Infowars.com and PrisonPlanet.tv. Again, I'm here reading from CBSNews.com, where they admit that the White House issued a photo of them in the Situation Room watching the operation. Now it turns out they have to admit they watched nothing. The whole thing was a staged fake. But you can look at the photo with Hillary with her hand over her mouth, Obama all looking tough. They clearly scripted this entire thing. And Governor, just going over more of the lies we've been told. I mean, government is constantly being caught in lies, and I think it's common sense to question.
You know what bothers me? Here's what troubles me, Alex, about the lying, is that when we lie to them, we go to jail. It's that simple. I mean, look at right now in baseball. You got Barry Bonds, he might go to jail. You got Roger Clemens, he might go to jail. And, of course, Martha Stewart did go to jail. And she didn't go for insider trading. She went to jail for lying to the government. So that's one thing that really disturbs me. The government can lie to us, and there's no repercussions to them. They do it all the time. And yet when we lie to them, we face jail time.
or when they say we lie. I mean, these new federal laws they've had the last decade have put hundreds of thousands of people in prison where you've actually done nothing wrong, but then they claim that you lied on your finances and they find $10 more or $10 less than you said. And they go, technically, you lied. It doesn't matter that it's really a mistake. You go to prison.
Well, you know, like I said, you got the high-profile cases like baseball, and I always question and go, what does steroid use in baseball have to do with the government? Nothing. You know, and it's that whole premise that if we lie to them, we go to jail, and yet it seems every politician in this country, lying must be the major course they take in college. I don't know. I didn't go to college, Alex. Do they have a course on lying?
Well, what they've done is they've tried to break our will and just train us to accept total corruption. I want to shift gears into another facet of this whole Bin Laden hoax that's being used to roll out even more tyranny. They're now saying you've got to give up even more rights. Al-Qaeda attacks are imminent. They're going to attack everything. They've got 160 buried nukes. KSM, who they've been torturing for, 6 years now, who confessed to bombing buildings that were built after he was kidnapped or given rendition. KSM, 2 weeks before 9/11, they released a statement claiming KSM said there are buried nukes in Europe and the U.S., and Bin Laden will detonate them. He has orders to detonate them if he is killed. Now, the Associated Press, in fact, let's pull that up on screen, KSM, nukes buried in America. The mainstream media is reporting nukes buried in Europe and America from KSM. Bin Laden knows where they're buried. The Navy SEALs are ordered not to kill him. That's now the official story. But then they do kill him as if they wouldn't follow their orders. And Dick Cheney comes out and says Obama should reinstate waterboarding. He told Fox Sunday. He told Chris Wallace that on Fox. Former Vice President Dick Cheney said Sunday that President Barack Obama should be should put waterboarding back on the table. And then I want to shift to this article by Washington's blog. U.S. government used communist torture techniques specifically designed to produce false confessions. And then he has links to the Navy SEAL training and the Army training. And it says that they now have announced as of 2009, and that Senator Levin is commenting on the Senate Armed Services Committee report on torture, declassified today, drops the following bombshell, that the survival evasion resistance, this is when you said years ago, you know, you talk about how you've been waterboarded and it is torture, and that you'd be happy to waterboard Dick Cheney, that they're actually using the SERE techniques that SEALs and other special forces are put through in the basic training now of advanced troops in this survival evasion resistance. They're not teaching them how to take the torture. They're teaching them how to torture now. That was declassified last week. Governor, what do you say about Cheney pushing this and them now training the troops how to torture?
Well, like I said before, Dick Cheney should be a man of his word, and he should try it first before he recommends it. It's that simple. Dick Cheney needs to lie down and be waterboarded. And that way he'll know what he's talking about. Because right now, Dick Cheney speaks out of ignorance. He doesn't know what he's talking about because he's never had it done to him. So I think the first thing Dick Cheney should do is volunteer to have it done. I just read in today's paper that he's contemplating whether he needs a new heart or not. Well, if he gets waterboarded, he won't have to make that decision anymore.
What do you make of them taking this training that you talked about going through, survival evasion resistance?
SEER school was required back when I was in the Navy. If you were going anywhere into a combat zone, they required you to pass, successfully complete SEER school, which was called Survival Escape Resistance and Evasion. And now that's where you were essentially waterboarded. Everybody was. And you spent the 24 hours at a mock POW camp and all of this stuff because you never knew, I guess, if you were going to face that as a reality after you deployed. As far as teaching people how to do those techniques, I think that's very, very wrong, because if you're involved in a war, you're supposed to treat your enemy combatant with a certain amount of respect if they've surrendered to you. And I I think that as a country, we should always be taking the high ground. And for Dick Cheney to come out and advocate torture again, well, that means he's putting us on the low ground again. Because then when somebody tortures us or when somebody does something to us, we will have no recourse or no high ground position to take anymore. Because the fact is, we do it. So therefore, how can we be morally on high ground at all? And I beg to ask the question, here's a guy with 5 deferments from the military telling us what foreign policy we should have and how we should operate with enemy combatants or enemy soldiers or everything like that. A guy who he himself was a coward and got 5 deferments from the Vietnam War. How dare him? And how dare anybody even give this guy to bother to listen to him? Is that bold enough for you, Alex?
Yes, sir, it is bold. And expanding on that, Bush wrote a book last year admitting he ordered torture. He'd do it again. The Army's own report from Abu Ghraib admits small children were raped in front of their parents. That's NBC News. You want to pull up the full report if you got the will to read it, listeners. This is what the good guys supposedly do, but they're not even worried about moral high ground. When foreigners do torture, it's horrible, it's terrible, they're dastardly, they're evil, but then simultaneously it's good when we do it. They're trying to warp our minds, but here it is. It says, with last week's release of Department of Justice legal counsel opinions, it is now widely known that Bush administration officials distorted survival, evasion, resistance, and escape training, a legitimate program used by the military to train our troops to resist abusive enemy interrogations by authorizing abusive techniques from the SERE SEERS training for use in detaining interrogations. So the point is, what was declassified last week is everybody getting SEERS training at special forces level now. It's not how to resist it, it's how to do it. They're building an army of torturers.
Well, then we should be hanging our head in shame, because that's not, I don't care what happens, that is not what the United States of America is supposed to be about, Alex. And like I said, if we lose all our moral high ground, then we certainly have lost the war on terror, because, you know, when our Constitution and our Bill of Rights don't exist anymore, well, that means the terrorists have won. But I think that happens internally. It doesn't happen from the terrorists. I think the terrorists are being used as an excuse.
Well, I think there's no doubt whoever the terrorists are, and we know it's black ops, private corporate criminal networks that are doing the lion's share of it, that the terrorists have won, and the government and the media are terrorizing us. What's your take, Governor, on we were told bin Laden's been killed after 9.5 years, and now they say we got to take more rights, the terror threat's greater. Well, then that means as they kill more, then it makes more of a threat. I mean, when does this end?
Well, I think here's the question I want to ask. Now that we've killed bin Laden, can't we bring all the troops home?
Yes.
Isn't it time for us to now pack up and come home? Isn't the war over? If this was indeed the man who masterminded 9/11, and we've now killed him, like they told us that they have on May 1st or whatever the date was, well then, shouldn't we be getting immediate withdrawal from both Iraq and Afghanistan and bring all our men and women home?
Incredible. Incredible. Let me raise another point.
Is that unreasonable?
No, it's not.
It seems to me now we won the war. Isn't this the ultimate thing, was to get the guy that allegedly did 9/11?
Well, now they're saying that...
Although, you know, I'll tell you something, Alex. We needed to capture bin Laden. You know why?
Mm-hmm.
We needed to find out how he achieved 9/11, because what happened on 9/11... I believe today it was not a controlled demolition, it was not nanothermite, and it certainly was not the pancake effect of 2 planes hitting a building. There was something else in play there, Alex. There was a weapon in play that day that I don't even know what it is, but I can equate it to being like a microwave. You know how you can take a piece of chicken and put it on a paper plate and stick it in the microwave and the chicken will burn but the paper plate won't?
Yes.
Well, something happened that day equivalent to a microwave. And by capturing bin Laden, maybe we could find out what weapon he truly has. Because I just learned there were 1,400 cars toasted that day all over the streets of Manhattan.
No, no, that's right. Cars that didn't have anything fall on them were completely fried, but expanding. Just like a secret helicopter reportedly crashed, we know they're 30 years advanced what they really have. But there's another area that, if you look at it, British physicists and others, and it turns out the government did measure this, you can confirm it, radioactive isotopes used in small nukes were picked up in levels off the charts in and around the towers.
No, I don't buy that. I don't buy that. Now, well, nukes were not used.
Well, the radiation was picked up. Now,
I don't buy it, because when those towers went down, there was less impact than when they brought down the Superdome in Seattle. And there should have been way more. Those towers literally disintegrated. They went into dust. And nukes don't do that. Not at that level. Radiation would have been extremely high.
Well, I'll tell you, Tower 1 and 2 are very suspicious. But when you look at 7, that's a conventional controlled demolition.
No, it isn't. No, it was not either. Because you got to read the book, Where Did the Towers Go, by Dr. Judy Wood, BS, MS, and PhD.
No, I know who she is. I know who she is.
I just finished her book. It's very remarkable.
Mm-hmm. Well, I agree with you that Tower 1 and 2 exploded into pyrotechnic dust, and things were being ejected long distances. But 7, you can see the boom, 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 and the symmetrical collapse into its own footprint.
Yeah, but you also see it lathering up a half hour soon, where smoke started coming out of one side of the building and one side of the building only. You had cases, the dust was everywhere with paper. Always remember, there's a simple thing. When metal is when something is hot, it will glow. But it doesn't have to be hot to glow. But not everything that glows is hot.
Well, I know this. They do have a lot of...
There was a weapon used that day, Alex, but it's a weapon that's beyond anything that I know about.
Well, I'll tell you what I want to know. I want to know why they killed bin Laden. If he knew how to make NORAD stand down, he knew how to have aircraft do maneuvers that the best fighter pilots couldn't do at Flight 77 at the Pentagon.
We should have captured the guy. That should have been the highest priority. But again, I understand if it truly went down and the SEALs made the call on the ground, I understand why, because that's the same policy that we had for the last 40 years.
Now, here's my issue. Bin Laden couldn't carry out 9/11. We know the hijackers were ordered to be let into the U.S. via the U.S. Embassy in Riyadh, Saudi Arabia. We know the head of the Defense Language School went public and said Ada was trained there. Even, Newsweek admits, hijackers trained at U.S. bases. They were decoys. They were set up. And following the M.O. of these people, the SEALs probably thought, if they did do this mission, that they were killing bin Laden. And they had a lookalike in there who was playing part in some drill and then found out it was real. And the SEALs shot him, and they threw him in the ocean and told the SEALs, good job, you killed bin Laden. That's exactly how the globalists operate. But, again, that is theory. That is going through a theory. All I know is that the official story of 9/11 doesn't fit into a guy in a cave being able to carry it out. And regardless, Governor, they've used 9/11. We got the Homeland Security MIAC reports 2 years ago to go after the American people and to take our liberty. So it's been used. I mean, we know Saddam wasn't involved, and they tried to frame him for it.
Absolutely. Again, America changed that fateful day, and it changed for the worse. And I just have a difficult time believing this bearded guy in a cave is responsible for all this. I just have a very hard time accepting that as being the truth.
You're right. I absolutely agree with you, and we need to continue to investigate. It's certainly been used to kill our republic, something foreign terrorists couldn't do. The government, no matter what administration is in, it energetically attacks the Bill of Rights.
By the way, look at they still don't admit that we did that show on my TV show, Alex. The one on police state that they pulled after one episode.
That's right, and the network won't say anything. Governor, you told me privately what you think the future of the show is. Are you ready to tell folks more about the show getting censored with that particular episode?
Well, I'll talk about that episode. Of course, it was last year we did the episode on the police state where we produced the Homeland Security bill that said FEMA was to build no less than 6 internment camps throughout the country. And when I inquired as to who was going in these and why these were being built, you know, we got stiff opposition in Washington, and of course they came down on the parent company of True TV, and they pulled the show. It only aired once, and now they won't even acknowledge that the show exists. And you, fortunately, you can see it because it aired that one time, so it's going to be out there on YouTube. But officially, it's not part of the show anymore. Of the 15 episodes we did, I guess there's only actually 14 now.
What about the future of Conspiracy Theory, which came out last season as the number one new show? Then they put it in the dead zone Friday night, still the number one new show for second season. You know, record audience for those guys. And now you were telling me privately some things. Can you talk about that?
Well, just that, you know, the ball's in their court. Whether it'll be renewed or not, I can't say at this time. I don't know if it will or will not be. But they had us submit 8 new conspiracy theories to them. And so they will look them over and I guess make a determination of whether we're back on the air or not. But they haven't promoted us at all, so that's not a good sign.
Yeah, well, should folks try to contact True TV or Time Warner and tell them put that good informative...
I don't do that, Alex. If people want to do that, that's up to them. But, you know, I won't ask for people to do that at all. If people are inclined to want to do that, they certainly, you know, I encourage them that they certainly can, but I won't ask for that at all.
Well, I'll say this. I mean, I know you told me on the road, well, I won't even get into it. It's not a lot of sweat off your back if they don't want to renew it. It's a lot of work. I mean, you guys fly all over the country, a lot of research.
Well, and that's another problem we have, Alex. What do I do about my flying situation now? Well, because I cannot fly commercial anymore.
That's right. They don't want to pay for the private jet. I know that's probably part of it. So there is Homeland Security ruining your TV show.
Yeah, very well could be because of the fact that I have the pending lawsuit and therefore I cannot fly commercially, so I can't go out on location anymore unless they fly me in a private jet, and they certainly don't have the budget for that, I can assure you of that.
Well, just like the Jews in Nazi Germany, first they wouldn't let them travel, wouldn't let them do business. Now Homeland Security, headed up by Schumer and others, are saying... that you will be on a no-work list, no-travel list, starting with trains, aircraft, no-gun-buy list. White House is pushing that. Just a magic list that they just put you on, and they admit in the Washington Post, anti-war people, pro-gun, property rights people, Tea Party people are now being barred, over 2 million on the list. The government just puts you on a list, and now soon it'll be...
Alex, how do you find out if you're on the list?
They won't tell you why you're on it. You just suddenly can't travel. That's Nazi Germany right there.
That's ridiculous. I mean, why can't you go and inquire whether you're on a list or not? I mean, it seems to me you should be able to do that.
Well, what do you think of them? Well, you might be a terrorist, Governor. What do you think about everybody's a terrorist, but the government crooks robbing us? It's now been confirmed, $27 trillion, as we broke down 2 years ago or a year and a half ago, $27 trillion just up until about a year and a half into the bailout. That the rest is secret. $27 trillion to foreign banks and people like MSNBC got Federal Reserve taxpayer money to push propaganda. Now we learn what's going on. But let's not worry about the bankers robbing us and the dollar plunging. Let's all worry about terrorists under the table, Governor.
Oh, not only terrorists under the table, but like these three gentlemen I ran into at the golf course the other day. They were more worried about that we got to stop these unions. You know, these union benefits that these state workers have, we got to get rid of that. I looked at these guys and said, oh, you want to bust them, but you don't want to do nothing about Wall Street, huh?
Oh, man. Well, I mean, look. They always talk about free market. Wall Street is the main piglet on the teat of the hog, and it's a piglet 4 or 5 times bigger than the mama hog, and the rest of the population is starving runt piglets with our bones showing, and Wall Street's sitting there bigger than mama, sucking everything out of in mama. Basically, it's a vampire pig sucking the blood out of mama.
I got a good idea, too, Alex. Let's stop benefits for elected officials.
Yes.
Let's truly make it public service. That if you go there to get elected, you do public service. You don't get your own retirement fund. You don't get your own medical health care. That you have to have the same health care that any other government employee has.
That's a good point. They make themselves exempt from the rules we're under and the system that they create for us. Just like you pointed out, government can lie all day and never gets in trouble. But if they claim we lie, we go to the gulag.
Yeah, we go to jail for it. sure. No, absolutely. We should cut out all benefits for them, make them survive the same way we have to. You know, like right now, you know, they're going to revamp Social Security and all that. Well, isn't it interesting? They don't get Social Security.
Very well said. Governor, we're almost out of time. We have a deal at Infowars.com that when you get Jesse Ventura's 63 documents, the government doesn't want you to read, incredible, hardcover, wake up anybody out there. It's only proven, admitted crimes and outrageous terrorist events and government drug dealing. It's an amazing book. And you get Big Brother, The Orwellian Nightmare Come True, discounted with it by Mark Dice. You can get any of my new films or films I produce, whatever film you choose, DVD film, free when you get it with Governor Ventura's book along with Big Brother, or get either one of these books by themselves, all available at Infowars.com or by calling toll-free 888-253-3139. The good news is, Governor, my radio show and websites are exponentially growing. Your book is way up there on the bestseller list week after week.
You know what's interesting about it, though, Alex? This is my second book way up on the bestseller list, and again, it hasn't been reviewed by any mainstream media, to my knowledge.
Absolutely. The fix is in.
Yeah. No, I mean, they don't review my books at all. They ignore them completely. They completely ignore them, no matter how long they stay on the New York Times top 10.
But here's the difference. In the past, if they did that with a book, it would never even make it on the charts. Now the alternative media, the real media, is growing so fast, they're panicking. But here's the problem. This isn't an internet kill switch that Homeland Security set up. It's really an internet takeover system, and the government's admitting now they may start shutting down alternative media and that they're going to start broadcasting government announcements over all media breaking in. I mean, doesn't that sound like the Running Man?
Yeah, it sounds like it. And boy, we'll sure get the truth then, won't we, Alex? My goodness, it'll be just fountains of information and truth for us, as Steve Buscemi said in Fargo.
Oh, man, so much is happening. We only got about 2-3 minutes left with you, Governor. Of course, the website is weaintgottimetobleed.com. Get the book, 63 Docs, at Infowars.com. Support the Gov and his work. Support my work. But more importantly, get a tool that you can read yourself, then pass on to others. This book is tailor-made to wake up people who are skeptics, because it's all government documents with the URLs of the government, so you can go check it out for yourself. And no wonder the system won't review this, because they're scared of it. The truth hurts the tyrants. When are you coming back to the U.S.? Because as fast as things are moving, we look forward to having you back on.
I'll probably be back in the U.S. Shortly after the Memorial weekend.
All right, so we look...
I'll be back then, because you know why I'm delaying my trip? Because we had so much snow in Minnesota that six of the greens at my golf course had to go temp.
Wow.
So, hell, I ain't got nothing to come back for, Alex, if there ain't golf.
You know, I'm going to take golf back up again, just so I make myself not work all the time. Maybe sometime you come visit me again in Austin, we'll go play some golf.
Well, we could do that, but remember, that Texas is the home of the Texas wedge. You know what that is, don't you?
Yes.
That's where you putt 30 yards off the green, because the ground's so hard you can't get a sand wedge down into it. It's like hitting concrete.
Oh, man.
I know that from playing Willie's course with him.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, hey, listen, Gov, it was great having you on.
Alex, take care, and I'll be back up in the States within a month, and we'll talk then.
All right. We're going to break. Let me just say bye to you right here. I just want to commend you. Where exactly is the book on the bestseller? Last time I saw it was number 4 on Amazon.
Yeah, well, it was number 4 on the New York Times for like 3 or 4 weeks in a row now. It's been right at number 4, pretty solid, all the information.
Wow, amazing.
Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
You know, I really can't do justice to his amazing bio, but perhaps I'll try later in the hour. But we got so many things happening in the world. I don't know if I always agree with Lynn LaRouge's solutions, but I certainly know that he's got an incredible grasp on history and has been, well, just doing a lot of amazing things over the last 50 years. And, of course, LaRouchePub.com is just one of their websites. He's been a presidential candidate. I don't know, former CIA director, called him the best private intelligence network in the world. He was well known back in the 80s for landing his helicopter at the CIA base in Langley and being received by the director. Made a lot of folks jealous of him, and that's when Bush went after him. And you know, I meant to pull that up today before the interview, you know, just so we could mention some of those stories. And we'll see if LaRouche can talk about some of that today. But I first wanted to get Lennon LaRouche to break down where the state of the world is right now. This is a short segment, long segment coming up in a moment. But joining us from Germany is Lennon LaRouche. Thank you for joining us.
Good to join you.
Again, via video Skype, we see Financial Times of London talking about the end of dollar hegemony. The Chinese, since you last joined us, said that we are basically already have a technical default. Do you agree with that?
Well, it's worse than that. We are in a general breakdown crisis of the international, that is the transatlantic system. Everything is about to go down. There are remedies, but as long as this president remains president, there's no chance that these remedies will be supplied. However, as we know now, he has committed an act, a lie, which makes him impeachable. Now, the question is whether the impeachment rage will be strong enough to put him out or not, but an attempted impeachment at this time would cripple this guy and make him more accessible to control over legitimate institutions in the United States. Under those conditions, we can be hopeful.
Well, I can ask a lot of questions here, but just a preview of what's coming up in the next hour, and again, we appreciate your time and your busy schedule, Mr. LaRouche. What are some of the topics that that you would like to address for people out there? Because I have a lot of questions, but what do you think is most important right now?
Well, first of all, is we have a problem with the British. They are, in a sense, controlling our destiny because we have a president who is nothing but a British asset. He's not really a very stable person, and he has some very bad policies. So therefore, that's one of our big problems. Another one is that the entire system, the transatlantic system, is now coming down. We've reached a point at which the failure of the last attempt at bailout, that this has created a situation which Europe has not yet corrected, which means that right now, Europe, and therefore also the United States, is on a slide down toward a breakdown as early as sometimes this coming month. There are remedies, of course, but the question is, if this guy remains president, is it possible to apply any of those remedies which do exist?
Well, when we come back, we'll cover the waterfront geopolitically, what's happening with the banks imploding, Greece by design, Ireland and others. And I'd first like to get your analysis, sir, on, because you do know the Anglo-American establishment probably better than anybody, what their end game is, what the strategy or stratagem is, so we can know our enemy and then understand why they're doing what they're doing. And then I want to get your forecast on what you believe will happen versus what they're attempting to do. And then we'll talk about solutions and a lot more. And then later, I notice you never talk about yourself. And over the years doing research on you, you've had one of the fullest, most interesting lives. So I think it's important for you to talk about your historical experiences as well. Lennon LaRouche is our guest. I'm Alex Jones, GCNLive.com, their site, LaRouchePub.com.
He's the T-Rex of political talk. Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network.
Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. until 2 p.m. Central Standard Time, we are here live. Thank you for joining us. National Security Council member Norman A. Bailey admitted in television interviews that he had regular meetings with the LaRouche Group and Lennon LaRouche, and that he circulated LaRouche material to the National Security Council. LaRouche, you can also research in the 80s, would give briefings to the CIA director and reportedly, you know, would land at the Langley base via his private helicopter. I mean, I introduced LaRouche that way because LaRouche never really talks about himself. And Lyndon LaRouche, before we go any further and break down the world crisis that you've predicted and everything that's unfolding and why the system has come after you over the years, will you please, I know you don't like talking about yourself, joining us via video connection from Germany, where you are right now, but I mean, can you please spend 2 or 3 minutes kind of chronicling your life and what you've done and, you know, from World War II? I mean, you're 90 years old, correct now, sir?
Not quite. I was born in 1922.
So you're almost 90.
Well, I'm getting close to it, yes.
Because you look like you're about 79 or something.
I'm fortunate in that respect.
I mean, any way you slice it, you're one of the most interesting people that I've ever had the pleasure of interviewing. I mean, I just want to say that.
Thank you.
Well, listen, I know, because you never do this, and your surrogates don't do it either. Please spend some time, because I don't think I can adequately, mark some of the high points, low points, some of the incredible things you've seen and witnessed in your life.
Well, I think that my experience became significant after World War II. During the war, I was there, but I wasn't too significant. I had some experiences in Calcutta in the immediate post-war period while I was still in service. And at a later point, I emerged as an economist. And I, of course, I had the advantage that most of the economists are not competent in the major things that have to be done in forecasting because they believe in the current system of forecasting, which is based on the dollar, for example, or on currencies. And currencies do not necessarily correspond to the real physical economy. And in my view, and most of my work has been in this area, is to force the issue through my forecasting of certain kinds of major events, which have been always correct, where my rivals have been failures, because they insist on statistical forecasting based on monetarist considerations. I base my forecasting on physical considerations. That is, what are we doing to increase the productivity of our nation per capita per square kilometer? What are we doing to increase the energy flux density we have for making our nation more productive? These are the factors I consider. And when we have policies which are based on a monetary system, really a Wall Street system sort of thing, that people are worried about Wall Street, I'm worried about the real economy. And repeatedly, Wall Street always fails because it's actually a thief and is more interested in what they can extract from people than fostering real production. For example, good example, look at China today. What is China doing? China is absorbing the industries we have shut down inside the United States. And this means that we are becoming more and more helpless because we no longer have the food supply, we no longer have the production, the actual production, which we as a nation control, on which our economy depends. We're now in a very grave crisis. And I fear that as long as this fellow remains president, we're up for it, as they say in Britain.
We're going to speak to that and get into the imminent collapse of the euro that you predicted many years ago that now is mainstream news. Soros admitting that there's going to be some type of crack up. I want to get into Obama and the British connection and where you see things going geopolitically. But continuing for a few more minutes to talk about Lyndon LaRouche, so new listeners out there, most of them know who you are, but you know only have seen a snapshot in the media characterizing you one way or the other. What happened in the 1980s? Because you had breakthroughs then when you were actually, I've talked to folks that were there at the time, they say Ronald Reagan was reading your intelligence reports. It was admitted that the director of the CIA and the National Security Council people were listening to you. And then later, of course, that's why George Herbert Walker Bush came after you and tried to set you up for some things. But what was happening in the power structure that the highest levels of the U.S. government were listening to you in the 1980s?
Well, there were a number of reasons. First of all, I was involved in the formation of the Fusion Energy Foundation during the 1970s, which became a leading science institution in the United States. And while I was doing that, I ventured into other areas. I came up with a proposal of what became known later as the Strategic Defense Initiative. It was initially my own proposal based on evidence which I had. This then, at a later point, some of the old boys from the former intelligence services of World War II came in to me and said, "We like what you're doing." So I expanded it, and then I went on, especially in the very beginning of the 1980s, to extend this, and I had a major part of the retired senior military figures of Germany, France, Italy, and so forth, and many in our own country of that same circle. And they recognized that what I was doing in proposing this, that this was the way we should go. And we went in that direction, except that Frank, of course, was known that the president at that time, Reagan, endorsed this proposal. We made a shot at getting it. We were frustrated, largely because of the liberals inside our political system. They thought that this was terrible, when it was obvious to us that we could have an arrangement in which the Soviet Union would change its policies to work with us, on our side, so to speak. And it was a very good policy. A number of Soviet leaders agreed with me, agreed this was a good policy.
Well, you proposed something, a different form of SDI, though, from what from the way it was sold, though, correct? I mean, what was your plan for SDI?
Well, the point was is to negotiate, which I did with the Soviet government, before a new head was put in. And with those people, we had this extensive discussion for several years. And in this discussion, we outlined what the problems were, the danger of a nuclear war fought through the atmosphere and up into space, and how much better it would be to resolve our problems step by step. First of all, to realize that we cannot have a thermonuclear war. Therefore, the idea, and you cannot have a war that would not be thermonuclear among major nations. Therefore, we had to find an agreement on modus operandi. And there was a lot of agreement with that. That's why we had the German, French, Italian general officers and people like that in high-ranking positions, as well as in the United States, who agreed to this. But then, as you know, the certain forces in the United States, particularly the politicians, killed it because they used all this alarmist nonsense. And then, of course, the head of the Soviet Union would come in then, was a real problem. He was a British asset, essentially. And Gorbachev, his successor, real successor, was a mess and still is to the present day. So we lost the fight. And then people like George H.W. Bush, he's pretty much a slob. I wouldn't want to give too much credit for him for intellect. He's all whimpering, whiny old George. And his son isn't any better. So they moved in a different direction, and it was decided to get rid of me. It was actually an assassination plot was set up through the Department of Justice. The president's circles, then Reagan, killed that. They kept at it. And they went to frame me up and get me in prison. They tried to find a court they could do it in. And they got it. Then after about 5 years of that incarceration, I came back out and did the same old thing I always did. And I'm still doing it today. And I'm having a great time in building a youth movement which is science-oriented and classical culture-oriented. And we're doing a good job with a limited number of people. And I think we have the seeds of a good future coming out of that process now. There's a demand for it throughout the world. I think we can do it.
All right.
Decent president.
Well, very, very interesting. Is the best website for folks to visit LaRouchePub.com? Because I know you have several. What is the best website for folks to visit?
Well, I think we're running the best right now because we're not that prolific. We produce about 3 to 4 products a day, which are broadcast or webcasts, as they say. It's the best. It's some of the best scientific work done today because one of our big functions is we have a science group, which is a factor in science in the world today. This is what we work from largely. We also specialize on music, because my understanding is that the ability to perform physical science is typified by cases like Max Planck and Einstein, that all the great scientists, or most of them, were involved in, as classical musicians, some with a professional quality, like Einstein or Planck, the classical musicians. And so this idea of a classical culture as the foundation for physical science and its progress is the conception we work from. Therefore, we do tend to recruit people as recruits who have some scientific background. And we have a team that's made some very important discoveries on their own in this brief field.
All right. Lennon LaRouche, we've got to go to break. When we come back, we'll get into the hardcore issues here today. The imminent collapse of the euro, what that means, what the Anglo-American establishment's goal is, what they would do if they're unopposed. What you believe is going to happen in your forecasting. It's all coming up with Lennon LaRouche straight ahead. I'm Alex Jones of InfoWars.com and PrisonPlanet.tv. Stay with us. And then economist George Humphrey will be joining us in studio coming up today as well. We'll talk about a host of issues, not just the economy. Stay with us. We'll be right back. Some people will say, hey, why are you interviewing Lennon LaRouche? Well, A, I've actually done 15, 16 years of research and gotten a lot of good information out of it. I don't totally agree with everything, but that's what free and open debate in society is about, is looking at all perspectives. And that's why reading from the Washington Post, January 15, 2006, some officials find intelligence network useful. Norman Bailey, former National Security Council advisor, recalls, that's the real government, that soon after he joined the National Security Council, he received a call from NSC officials asking him to talk to a group of followers of right-wing presidential candidate. Notice they call him right-wing, and then they call him left-wing. LaRouche, who was offering intelligence information to the agency. Bailey said the NSC senior director of international economic affairs said he found the visitor's intelligence on economics and foreign affairs surprisingly on target. And then the Washington Post goes through this whole saga, and it was really going on before that. So I just want new listeners to understand that this guy, if you read the whole history, it's amazing. Lennon, this is a short segment, big, long 18-minute one coming up, but you've got the floor. Where are we right now economically in the world? They're having to more and more admit we're really in a depression. What is the banking cartel based in London and New York? What is their goal? What's happening to the euro? What's happening in Greece? What's coming here?
Well, there's a long-term trend which is centered on certain people in the United Kingdom, which is the desire to reduce the human population to what some people say 2 billion people, some say one. And recently, the one is preferred. The policy of the so-called Green Revolution people, that is the anti-technology people, is precisely that. And for example, the worst case right now happens to be in Germany, where the green change is heading. And it means a disaster for the total population of Germany. It's a weaker in France, where they do have a dependency upon nuclear power. Italy does not yet have nuclear power. They once did, but it was taken away from them. So we're in that kind of situation. But the worst of it is that at this point, with this president, who is nothing but a British puppet, and that is no exaggeration whatsoever. One knows his affinities for the British royal family and for their policies.
We've never seen such groveling by a president.
Pardon me?
We've never seen presidents groveling like this, bowing down to Queenie.
They created him. How do you think all the money was cooked up under very suspicious circumstances to overwhelm the presidential campaign with him, with money behind him? And my view is some of the people using this money should have gone to prison, because the tactics are being used by spreading a fund, which is coming largely from drug money and similar kinds of sources, and splitting it up into little pieces and then putting the pieces into the campaign of the presidential candidate. They overwhelmed with sheer money, overwhelmed the legitimate campaign, which was being run for the president. Now, on the basis of his debt to the British, who put him into office inside the United States with this flood of money, he now actually has got control over the presidency. There are people in the United States, particularly older people, who are less political and more, shall we say, institutional, who understand this. And we are prepared to dump this bum from office. Now we have the perfect grounds for doing so. We had a ground under the 25th Amendment on him earlier. It should have been exercised. It was not. Now we've caught him in an outrage of an impeachable offense against the United States in a fraudulent policy on warfare in Libya. We have him there. There's some weaklings in the United States who are afraid to close in on this guy. But I know if he is not thrown out of office very soon, and I mean in the weeks immediately ahead, this United States cannot survive the kinds of conditions which we're going into in the month of July. Doesn't mean we're going to collapse in July, but it means we're going through a process which will collapse somewhere along the summertime.
We're already seeing bizarre flash mobs and riots popping up all over the United States right now.
Well, you have two of them. One has like Twitter. Twitter operates a riot-creating operation, just through its normal operations. But behind what Twitter does as just an organization, Twitter as an organization is control. It's control from the top. And you have a generation of youths who have a very poor orientation in life. It wasn't their fault. It was given to them.
Mr. LaRouche, stay there. Long segment coming up. I want you to get into the euro, what the Anglo-American establishment goal is, your ideas to fix it. In fact, I'm going to just give you the floor for 18 minutes when we come back. I'll have a few questions I throw in, but I want you to really finish up with Twitter and then flesh out, to understand it, what is the Anglo-American goal so we know what's coming ahead and what do you think is going to happen? Predicted much of what is now unfolding with great precision. Lennon LaRouche is our guest. We're going back to him in just one moment. Their websites are LaRouchePub.com and LaRouchePack.com really a nice website, very high tech. I like the look of it, but also the information. So check out LaRouchePack.com as well. Before we go back to Lennon LaRouche to really get into the nitty gritty of where the economy is, what these people's in-game plan is, we don't defeat them. He already went there a bit with the world population reduction agenda. I mean, it's on record. I know it's frightening and sounds crazy, but as you know, as listeners here, we cover the White House, Science Czar, and Henry Kissinger, and Ted Turner, and Prince Philip. I mean, they say they're building a world government to shut off our resources and kill us. I mean, the one-child policy of China is theirs. China was paid to do that. So that's all coming up. But I want to remind you of this special ends tomorrow. Five of my most powerful films, Fall of the Republic, The Rise of FEMA, Endgame, Blueprint for Global Enslavement, Getting into the Eugenics, the key film, Terror Storm, History of Government-Sponsored Terror, The Obama Deception, five of my bestsellers. The Alex Jones Essential Special ends, it'll end Saturday because we'll have it through Friday. And on top of it, Big Brother, The Orwellian Nightmare Come True, great new book by Mark Dice, breaking down the parallels. Now we're becoming a Big Brother society. Free. That deal runs through Friday at Infowars.com or call toll free 888-253-3139. 888-253-3139. You can also subscribe at PrisonPlanet.tv and see all my films, the live 3-hour show each day, the new TV show coming out in the next month or so. I'm going to be announcing that next week when exactly we're going to premiere that and details of it. All my films in higher quality, expanded extras, my book, Watson's book, a lot of other films, higher quality podcasts, 15 cents a day. And your purchase and support of memberships supports this broadcast, PrisonPlanet.tv. Talking to Lennon LaRouche, 50 plus years, researching all of this. Where is the world right now? What is happening with the economy? What's going on with the euro? What's happening with Greece? What's happening with all the war clouds gathering? Where do you see the world right now?
Well, first of all, we're headed toward a general collapse throughout the transatlantic region. It's centered, of course, in Europe and centered in the United States, but it's extended throughout the Americas, it's extended into Africa, and through parts of Asia. This is the area that's in trouble. Right now, it's coming down. One problem is you have Europe, that is continental Europe, which is part of a system called the Euro system, with its own currency, a Euro currency. In other words, it's a form of globalization in which the nations are losing their sovereignty at a rapid rate in order to become a members of a blob of an assortment of nations. This thing is now in the process of coming down. The breakdown of the process was established in New York City by a gentleman called Strauss Kahn, who was at that point the head of the IMF, the International Monetary Fund. And he was caught in the attack, which was considered rape, of a woman. And for that, he was picked up on at the plane side before he could board the plane to France. He then went some time in Rikers Island, the famous prison in New York City area, and he's now sitting on parole with a little special detachment to his shoe. And there he sits, awaiting trial, which would be of some duration. The significance of this is that Strauss-Kahn's elimination from the operation killed the bailout operation, which had been intended. Now, the effect of the inability of that crowd to get a bailout going again resulted in a deterioration, because what you're getting is a bunch of money, which is not money. You're getting electronic money, not even electronic, electronic fake money, which is out there, which is a bailout. This stuff has no redeemable value except to collect debts from victims, including countries that are victims, including the United States. We are being looted as a nation. That is, our people are being looted. Our industries are being looted. Our states, the four states, are virtually in a state of bankruptcy now because they can't meet the debt requirements to bail themselves out at the end of the fiscal year. Other parts of the nation are being crushed by an accelerating rate. For example, our military is under threat right now. The military of the United States is going to be slashed massively if something is not done about it. And that's going to leave us in a very strange degree of vulnerability, not because of foreign wars as such, but simply because our military is one of the final institutions which is still more or less functioning. Every one of our institutions is crumbling. If we do not get this bum out of office now, and the grounds existed under the 25th Amendment for some time, the grounds now are, of course, his violation of the War Powers Act, for which he should be thrown out of office as a crime against the nation. And with other whatever penalties about being thrown out of office, go with that. But he's not. And as long as this bum, with these practices, this president, remains in office, he will continue to do everything to destroy the United States. If you don't get him out, you can kiss the United States goodbye when you still are able to kiss. That's where it stands. Now, there are many options. We have wonderful options in the United States if we chose to use them. We could rebuild our entire central water system in the United States. We could create industry and create agriculture where it does not exist or where it's being destroyed. The destruction of agriculture by the storms which have hit during the recent period have destroyed the food supply of the United States to a critical degree in the immediate period ahead. And there are no plans to restore it. The farmers are bankrupt. They have no credit available to meet the requirements. They could go with something now. The whole region of the Mississippi River, the Ohio Basin, the Missouri Basin. The food supply is being destroyed.
Again, we're talking live to Lyndon LaRouche, who really needs no introduction, of LaRouchePack.com and LaRouchePub.com. Lyndon, 20 years ago, you said NAFTA globalism would do this to us, that was part of this deindustrialized program, but what is the British model of this corporate imperium going to do when it's built up China and Russia and others are still standing, and when their main command base, their main titan, the United States, is accelerating its debilitation. I mean, what is the method to that madness? You have a report out dealing with Obama in violation of the War Powers Act. Why are they becoming so arrogant in his speech yesterday, saying, "I don't even need to discuss the Constitution anymore"? I mean, this what is he getting us ready for?
Well, what you have to remember, our system of government was unique when founded. It was at the time we had won the Revolutionary War, we had a great problem of debt, the debt of what became the respective states of that period. There was apparently no solution because each of these states of the United States was vulnerable to this debt, in danger of going into bankruptcy, and the British were just waiting to move back in and take us back over through that method. Alexander Hamilton, who was a protege, really, of Benjamin Franklin, introduced a reform which established our republic on a constitutional system rather than a collection of states. In other words, we departed the European standard of states, maybe a decentralized form of government with a central government, and went to a system which is based on a system of national credit. This was the basis on which the Constitution was written. Therefore, our system, in contrast to the European monetary systems, our system is historically, by virtue of our Constitution, a credit system, not a monetary system. Now, whenever Roosevelt, of course, put us back on the credit system in his presidency, it was undermined, and then in 1999, it was destroyed by the repeal of the Glass-Steagall Act, which had been the bulwark of our entire recovery during the 1930s and thereafter. So that destruction in 1999 of the Glass-Steagall Act opened the gates for a complete takeover by the British international monetarist interests. That today is our problem. Now, we can get out of this mess. All we have to do is reenact the original Glass-Steagall Act of 1933, which was functioning more or less up until about 1999. Once that's done, then all the phony money, the Wall Street money and the British money, goes into the different department of banking. It's not a part of the federal debt. It's a part of the market for speculative investment, the Wall Street market. Therefore, once we pass Glass-Steagall, if we do it, and there's a strong movement for that now, if we do that, then we are able to get rid of several or tens of trillions of dollars of phony debt, which the nation is now carrying, which is ruining our states, destroying our population. We can reverse that process. Obama is the advocate of the British interest. He's a tool of the British. They own him. They control his mind. He's just an agent who is bought, whose presidency was bought by a vast influx of drug money and other corrupt currency. But for this drug money flood, which brought Obama into the presidency, he would not have been president. And that's the situation. So now we're at the point where the policies of Obama are the enemy of the United States, the enemy of our existence. We're not talking about a long-term enemy. We're talking about a short-term enemy. We could be destroyed irreparably within a few weeks from now.
Therefore, explain the technicals of that, because the collapse by design, I mean, they're on record engineering it to absorb Greece, Ireland, Iceland has resisted. They now admit it is inevitable into Italy, Portugal. I mean, can you lay out the technicals of how you're saying in a few weeks this could accelerate? Break down that chain of events.
The point is, if you acknowledge, if you try to collect what the British essentially control, which is a worthless debt, the mass of many trillions of dollars and more, there are actually quadrillions of phony value out there clamoring for being fed. All we have to do is pass Glass-Steagall again now with the understanding of what we've been through. If we do that, these guys will go bankrupt. Their phony claims against the United States.
Because that will further implode the current Ponzi scheme they've got. And to quantify it, correct me if I'm wrong, they've created $1.5 quadrillion in derivatives. They bought off our governments to buy into the debt, and it's a black hole. If we don't pull out of it, there's no hope.
Exactly. The point is, the debt we have is not legitimate debt of our government under our Constitution. Therefore, that debt would go back to Wall Street, and Wall Street would have to find its own resources to pay the debt, the phony debt, that it created.
Okay, what do we do when they hold us hostage, as they openly do, and implode the stock market? Do we then just arrest them for financial terrorism? Because they're on record in Europe and the U.S. threatening to implode things if they can't hold us hostage. So what's the process there? Because it is truly us or them, and they are the fraudsters. But any governor that goes after him, any grand jury, any congressperson, as you know, they get busted for something or their plane blows up. So how do you stop them?
Very simply, Glass-Steagall. If we reenact the 1933 Glass-Steagall Act, which was canceled in 1999, if we do that, we are immediately in a new situation in which the only currency, the only credit system operating is the United States government's treasury system. We then have to use the power of the treasury under those conditions to utter credit, not money, credit. We give credit to projects which we think are worth the public investment in them. We support private industries and so forth, which are going to do this, like agriculture. We have a crisis in agriculture in the United States. We have a food supply which is insufficient for our total population right now. We can get that back if we put the investment back into the Mississippi, the Iowa, and the Missouri River areas alone. These areas will give us a growth in food supply. We have major projects, infrastructure projects, not what they call infrastructure, but real ones, like NWAPA. We can change the character and improve the character qualitatively simply by using public credit to loan it in the places where it will do the most good from a strategic standpoint. For example, take the state of California. The state of California is dying under these conditions. We can rescue it. We have other states, three other states that are dying right now under the terms of the present conditions.
And that's what the banksters want, because and we have the IMF World Bank documents, when their policies implode things further, they come in and buy things up for pennies on the dollar, then they implode it more. That's why they buy into the Malthusian view and the social Darwinistic view that their psychopathic activity is a favor for humanity. Of course they adopt these bankrupt game theory philosophies and RAND Corporation ideas because it feeds in as a rationale for what they're doing. But at the end of the day, they're destroying the very civilization that they fed off of. They're actually in danger of killing their host. If they are successful, in the end, won't they destroy their own system as well? But their predator instinct can't be stopped.
This is all intentional. The intention is to reduce the world population from over 7 billion people to 1 in the shortest possible time. If you understand that, then you know what's going on. If you don't understand that, you really don't know what's going on. The point is, you're looking at a whole system, and the system was born with the founding of the Roman Empire. The Roman Empire, the original one, collapsed, but then it was revived as Byzantium. That collapsed. It was revived as a crusader system. That collapsed. And then after a whole series of wars in Europe, it was established as a new empire with William of Orange, who carried the flag of the new Venetian party from the Netherlands into England and Ireland and did a lot of killing. But his outcome of his actions with the Seven Years' War, which concluded in 1763, established the British kingdom as an imperial power on the planet, including its control of India, its control over Nova Scotia, Canada, and so forth. So that this was the fight we...
All right, stay there, Lyndon LaRouche. Let's come back and finish up with that key area on the other side. Please continue. So basically, we're seen as weevils that have invaded their grain bags, and we need to be exterminated. And that's what they all write. They all say that's their philosophy, their religion, their driving system, and it's admitted. Lyndon LaRouche is with us for this five-minute segment, then a one-minute break, the little 5 minutes we do at the start of the hour, then George Humphrey in studio with us, economist, former Austin City Council member, successful businessman, good friend of mine, author, filmmaker. He's going to be in studio with us to cover a host of issues, and towards the end of the hour, I promise we'll also open the phones up if you have any questions for him. Lyndon LaRouche is our guest, joining us via video Skype from Germany. You were getting into their plan for world population reduction. Look at California going into a total implosion, 30%+ unemployment. Even 60 Minutes did an analysis and admitted that last year. Their answer is ram through a 20%+ carbon tax on California. I mean, if that isn't proof of the economic genocide, what is, Lyndon LaRouche?
Well, that's what you're getting. You're getting that. There is real genocide, and it's intentional. And the Obama administration is an instrument of that policy of genocide. If you look at the policies which are uttered by the Obama administration itself, as apart from any other source inside the United States, you find that only Obama and what he represents and his immediate cronies are the people who are behind in the healthcare, in other fields, to increase the killing rate of what is considered an excessively large U.S. population. So we're not involved in a political quarrel. We're involved in an existential issue. Are we going to be human or are we going to be cannibals? That's what we are. If you go with Obama, you're for the cannibal class. And that's what we're headed for.
Is that why they put him in? Because he's black and they thought that would give him political cover? Because it's admitted that the carbon taxes proposed at Copenhagen would kill at least a billion people if they were implemented within 5 years. And that was just the first rollout. And they told the third world, hey, go for this. We're going to tax the West, give it to you. And then they got the treaty, and it was right at double the taxes that the West would pay on people making less than $2 a day. It was a death sentence.
I know.
I know you know, but I mean, how do we stop these people? They're madmen.
They are criminals. And we have to understand that. We have to establish our government again free of the Obama syndrome. And also the George W. Bush Jr. syndrome, which is almost as bad. Not quite as bad as Obama.
What is your view of the political field right now in the United States?
Pardon me?
What is your view of the political candidates?
I think what we have now is we have among some senators and among members of the House of Representatives, and in terms of the elite institutions of the gubernatorial system, has a lot of good people in it. We have the ability, and we're pushing for the Glass-Steagall reenactment, and it's a very serious and it's a growing movement right now. We're moving to reinstall Glass-Steagall. That'll change the whole game. We in the United States, with our government, as long as we control it, has the capacity to create credit. We can put the United States back to work.
So it's policy. They could turn this around anytime they wanted to, but they don't want that to happen. What happens if we don't? I mean, couldn't we impeach Obama? There's more than one way to skin a cat. Couldn't we go after Obama for the war powers issue? I mean, Ron Paul was on with us 2 days ago. He said it's absolutely impeachable.
He's impeachable on that ground. He's impeachable because he's insane also. And he couldn't be what he is if he weren't insane. This man is a mental case of a certain type.
He thinks we have 57 states. He doesn't even know the ages of his daughters now. There's news today asking if Obama is starting to have mental problems.
He's crazy. But he's like the famous Nero, Emperor Nero. He's got the same syndrome of the Emperor Nero is psychological. But the point is, he's used as a tool by the British monarchy personally. That is, he is not an agent of some conspiracy. He's an agent of one conspiracy, an agent of the British monarchy.
All right, we're back in 1 minute. Lyndon LaRouge, our guest. Stay with us.